advertisers.
The News Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The News Junkie for a Thursday, June 6, 2019. Lots to get to today, from the YouTube censorship fallout to the government releases some strange new Bigfoot files and another restaurant manager fired for being mean, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Can we have all the emergency crews at iHeartMedia on standby, please? Ooh. This is going to be the show where I die, I think. We've got some minor issues going on over here.
You have diarrhea?
No, I wish it was that, actually. That would be a safer issue. There would just be, you know, some problems associated with it. People don't understand how much of this show is run off of computers. Not to say that my voice is a computer right now, but, you know, all the stuff you hear, rejoins and clips that we all play, they're all run off of our laptops. And a lot of times we have to pack them up every single day and put them in the bag, and you roll your power cord for your MacBook up. And eventually, I think this is by design, they fail.
Yeah.
It breaks. There's wires hanging out all over the place.
Yeah, but Sean, all you have to do is go to the Apple store and pay $100 more for something that costs way less.
It's insane. I forgot how much it was last time, but it, even though it wasn't quite $100, it was not that far away. Like maybe 50-something bucks for the Apple cord to run your stuff that just keeps breaking when you put it in your bag every day. So I bought a knockoff on Amazon, and I was just about to brag to you guys about what a great deal this thing was until I plugged it in about 30 seconds ago and sparks flew everywhere right next to me.
No way.
I said,
what?
I said,
do it again.
I'm not taking it out and doing it again. It's charging right now.
You kept it on the... It started to spark and you just kept it on there?
I went to put it into my laptop and it went, and the sparks started flying everywhere. And then I just said, I looked at the clock. There was a minute left before the show or something. So I slammed it in. It appears to be working now. There's no smoke coming up that I can see.
Are you sure you got the right voltage?
Yeah, supposedly. I mean, I got all the stuff that they told me to get. It's the right thing. It's working brilliantly when it's not blowing up.
Yeah, it just has a little bit of a pre-show, you know?
Do you have a fire extinguisher behind you over there? Or
No?
We don't have any fire extinguisher? Okay, we'll be fine. This will be just one of those shows where we're on edge a little bit because someone might die, mostly me, during the course of the show. I mean, it was like, bam! All kinds of sparks flying out right in front of me. I think we'll survive through this whole thing. But I do have some unfortunate news about something that happened here in Central Florida. And it's related to something that we bring up on the show from time to time that I think is an interesting conundrum that's developing. And a lot of times it's related to helping people. And I think if you consider yourself a decent person, in most cases you want to help people. You want to at least think that you would help people if given the opportunity. Now, I've told stories before where it's like it's super uncomfortable. One time I was in, driving around West Palm, and I went to a gas station. I've told this story before. And I saw this man and woman getting in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do I do? He's throwing her around. And then right when I'm looking over, I'm like, do I do something? She starts throwing his ass around. And then I'm like, this is just a fight. What do I do? Do I interject myself in this? So let's start kind of there. Have you ever interjected yourself in a fight that you saw going on between people that you did not know at all?
Yes, I have.
What'd you do? What was the situation?
It was like two guys, I think. I don't know. Honestly, it's happened a couple times. And for some reason, it's an initial reaction, not like, should I do this? I'm just already there. And I'm like, oh, I had just blacked out and here I am now. But I would break it up. And by the time I'm there in the middle trying to push people away from each other, other people have gone in and assisted.
Yeah, it just happens fast sometimes. But on other times, you're a little bit of a ways away and you're watching this happen. And then you have to make that decision to go, do I involve myself in this? And I'll give you this crazy news story that ties into this in just a moment. See, Lena, do you ever end up in that situation? Have you broken up a fight or you just watch it happen?
Most of the time, especially if it's a more brutal one, I kind of watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because
keep your distance.
Yeah. But there's been times where I've tried to hold somebody back, especially if it's somebody I even kind of know.
Yeah. It's more difficult of a decision to make if you don't know them at all. That's the biggest curveball that you can throw in this. And the reason I bring it up is because there's a guy facing a felony charge now. He was at Miller's Ale House, a place a lot of people have been to in Central Florida. And as he's at Miller's Ale House, he's, I guess, having a couple of drinks with somebody he was with. And he sees a man outside arguing with his wife. Now, he's 28 years old. Benjamin Hernandez Jr. is his name. And who knows, some of you might have been there. You might know more about this. Please inform us and shed light on what happened here. I'm just going by what I'm seeing from Click Orlando right now. But a 28-year-old Benjamin Hernandez Jr. of Sebring heard a 51-year-old guy and his wife arguing on the patio bar of Miller's Ale House. So they're outside, and I guess this guy is screaming at his wife.
Okay.
That's what's happening. I've seen this stuff happen from time to time.
Over some zingers? Or
who knows what the hell they were getting into. Maybe they had a little too much wine, and they got into some personal stuff. But allegedly, this guy is yelling at his wife on the patio of Miller's Ale House. And then this young guy, Benjamin Hernandez, the 28-year-old, says, I'm not going to let anybody disrespect a woman like that in front of me and just stand by. I was raised not to just sit here while this stuff is happening. And he goes up to the man and confronts him for screaming at his wife and starts to say a couple of things. Well, this 51-year-old starts to mouth off back to him. And he goes, hey, mind your own business or whatever. He says something back. And the 28-year-old swings for him and hits him in the head, right? Oh. Punches this 51-year-old. And the 51-year-old slumps down, falls backwards on the patio at Miller's Ale House, hits his head, and they think he's going to die.
Like, oh, God.
He's brain dead right now. One punch to the face. He fell down, hit his head on the floor, and he was completely KO'd immediately. Right now, they say he's brain dead. If he's not dead already, very little likelihood that he will survive this. And right now, he's only in on a felony charge for aggravated battery for intervening here. But as this goes forward, well, the guy's clinically brain dead. You might even have one of these cases where there's a murder now. A punch that resulted from a guy trying, at least from the outside, to do the right thing and to intervene in a case where a man was yelling at his wife. He gets into it, hits him once, the guy dies, and we may now have a manslaughter charge if this accelerates any. They said, witnesses said Hernandez then tried to leave the restaurant, but the man's wife screamed for somebody to help stop him while she waited with her husband. Hernandez then returned to his seat and waited for the deputies to arrive. So he just goes back to hanging out at the Ale House. Cops show up at the scene. They ask him what happened. He says he was there having a few drinks at the bar. He noticed the man and his wife arguing, approached them in an effort to de-escalate the situation. He said nobody else is doing anything about this. He said he's seen a lot of abuse and his family did not want to see another man hurt a woman. And he said straight to the man, I'm not going to watch somebody get abused. The woman told investigators she and her husband were arguing, but that he never got physical with her. But this guy goes over there. Now the two guys start arguing, punches him once. He hits the ground. He dies. There's a lot to think about there. You know, number one, if this guy dies, should this person be responsible for his death? Because it was his punch that took him out.
Exactly. And in that case, yes, he is responsible for it. I mean, intervening, he was right all up until the point where he assaulted the guy. I mean, he didn't see the woman being physically harmed.
Yeah.
He was trying to do the right thing, but he became the aggressor as soon as he threw that punch.
Yeah. The crazy thing about this is I believe that it will, when enough of these stories pile up, discourage people from wanting to help in situations like this. Like, is it the right move to go over there and intervene when you see a man and a woman or whoever arguing with each other and fighting, and you say, I don't want this to be happening. I think this is going to escalate, and I'm going to go over there and try to handle the situation. Or is that simply just none of your goddamn business?
No, I mean, I think that, like I said before, you know, you can intervene without throwing punches. You can intervene with your words. You know, they're obviously in a public place, and whatever the older gentleman said to him, it went from the situation between him and his wife to like, oh, well, now you've you've offended me, and I'm going to physically show you that I'm can overpower the situation. Like,
and let's not minimize the fact that obviously there are drinks involved here. You know, this is occurring at a bar. That kind of inflames things. You get people arguing back and forth. But this is such a weird one that will probably make people less likely to get in somebody else's business down the road. And sometimes that could be troubling. I mean, the only time I've ever really tried to intervene in something, I'm really glad I didn't get to. I think I've shared this before, but for those of you who are new to the show, I'll tell you. I was at a couple of friends' house, and we were having a keg party on their second floor balcony of their apartment. And it was later at night, around midnight or so, and we heard, even though there was a bunch of us hanging out, a couple fighting, arguing across the pond. There was sort of like, you know, a development where there's a pond in the middle and the apartments are all the way around. It's encircling this lake in the middle. And across the way, this man and this woman are screaming. And they come outside and then they get pulled back into the apartment. I go, wow, that was really weird. And they come back outside again. And now the man is pulling the woman down the stairwell by her hair.
Okay, so that would be a point where you intervene.
Right. So he's dragging her down the stairwell by her hair. And so a bunch of us on the balcony, we got a couple of drinks in us, we're in hero mode. We're like, let's haul ass over there and do something to stop this. But it was a ways away. So we all run downstairs and we're going to run over where this is on the other side of the lake to the other apartment. And at that time, he has shoved her into his vehicle and they haul ass screeching tires out of the parking lot. And all of us go back. We're like, what do we do now? We couldn't help this woman, man. If we would have gone over there, you know, everybody's like, oh, I would have got him. The guy ended up taking her down to the end of a nearby road, had her get on her knees at the end of the road, put a gun in her face and blew her head off and then killed himself. And I go, wow, if we would have gotten closer and intervened in this fight, what would have happened to us? So this intervening in other people's arguments thing becomes, like, troubling at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Or they might be alive still.
Yeah, there's no way that they would have been alive. This guy was willing to shoot himself and shoot her. He would have killed every single one of us on that stairwell if that's the way this whole thing ended up. But, yeah, Benjamin Hernandez Jr., 28 years old, tries to intervene at Miller's Ale House. And this 51-year-old man gets into it with him. 51-year-old gets punched, falls, and now is going to likely die as a result.
Oh, man. And if I don't think 51, if it was 65 or older, that's a bigger charge.
Yeah, would have been elderly abuse for getting involved in other people's business. And you think you're doing the right thing. So where is the line there? And we'll go to that on some dispatches in just a bit. Also, more info coming out about what happened at Volcano Bay Water Park, which I believe you were just recently at.
I was. You know what? I hadn't even heard about this. Apparently, this happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard about this until this morning when I was flipping through my phone, and I saw the statement that they made, and I definitely did not experience any of the things that some of these people did.
You didn't get any tingles or anything?
No.
Oh, God.
This was on Sunday at Volcano Bay. They had to close early. They said there was a technical issue, but they didn't really want to talk about it. And now they're admitting that there were some electrical issues that was causing people in the water to get shocked.
What?
Yeah, they said yesterday we had some technical issues at Volcano Bay. As a result, we closed the park early, blah, blah, blah. That was on Monday when they responded. But now they are saying that visitors and employees felt shocks at the water park, and there must have been some sort of electrical issue. So a lot of things shocking people today on the show. My laptop may explode at any moment, and Volcano Bay is electrocuting people. Well, not electrocuting, because nobody died. I don't
just
want that
shock.
Action.
Yeah, just a little shocker.
A little shock to wake you up there during your vacation. When we come back, so much to get into. Of course, we'll talk about what's happening with YouTube. That has a lot of people talking today. And there is a black metal singer, as in Norwegian black metal. And this guy is really, really upset. We'll talk about what's making him mad and get to your dispatches next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
That's all.
Real Radio. 104.1.
biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Talk about this new Netflix documentary that is absolutely mind-blowing, badass crazy in just a moment here. But the question I'm posing is a pretty big one. Like, what is your responsibility as a human being? And there's a lot of stories in the news that directly focus on this right now. Is your responsibility to intervene when you think people are in trouble, or should you stay out of it and mind your own business? I mean, in the highest and most serious of levels, you have this Deputy Scott Peterson guy down in Parkland where the school got shot up, who for 45 minutes sat on his ass and hid because he didn't want to go in and start stopping what was happening there. He didn't want to take on the school shooter, so he just listened to dozens and dozens of shots rattle off. On a lower level, let's say you're out somewhere, and that's the story we were just discussing. Let's say you're out somewhere, and there's a fight that breaks out, or you hear a man yelling at his wife, and it's starting to get a little aggressive. What is your job in that situation? Should you do nothing? Are you wrong if you do nothing, and then somebody gets hurt? Is it not your business and people are just too nosy about all this stuff? This was a thing that just went down at a regular-ass restaurant, an alehouse. Guy is sitting at the bar having some drinks. He hears an altercation on the patio. He goes out there. He's 28. The other guy's 51. They start yelling at each other. He hits the 51-year-old once. 51-year-old falls, hits his head on the concrete, and is probably going to die now. He's brain dead as a result. What should we be doing in these situations? Just some details in case you missed it here.
An argument between a husband and a wife at a local restaurant leads to another man stepping in, throwing a punch.
That single punch sent the husband to the hospital brain dead. And
one
he's not expected to survive. News 6's Nadine Yanis is outside the Miller's Ale House on Erlo Bronson Memorial Highway in Orange County where this happened. She tells us what led up to the fight in a story that is all new at 4:30.
Every witness is everywhere.
Witnesses told deputies they saw that 28-year-old man, Benjamin Hernandez, punch the 51-year-old victim, sending him to the ground where he hit his head and is now in the hospital with serious injuries. We spoke to that man who was arrested, Hernandez, telling me that was not his intent to injure him so severely.
Obviously.
It was a single punch at this Miller Ale House near Disney last night that sent one man to the hospital fighting for his life and sent this man, 28-year-old Benjamin Hernandez, to jail.
So now he's in jail, might be facing even bigger charges, and if he would have just minded his own business, whether that be right or wrong, he would not be where he is right now. He may be spending a significant time behind bars because he heard somebody doing something he thought was wrong and wanted to intervene. Let's talk to Manny. Go ahead, Manny.
Hey, so I'm out. We're at a restaurant, and we stop at a gas station. Now, the restaurant, I've been kind of tipsy, and I'm sitting in the back with my wife, and my brother goes to pump gas. Well, while we're sitting there, I see across on the other pump, a guy grab a girl by her neck and punch her in the face, close hand and everything.
Yeah.
And when he does that, I'm raised just like that other guy where you're not supposed to treat women like that. So I try to get out the car. My wife, like, holding me back. My brother's wife's holding me back because they know I'm not drunk, but I'm tipsy enough to do something stupid.
Yeah.
So my brother is the one that's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, dude, that dude just hit that girl. He goes and confronts the guy. The guy's like, hey, she likes that. She likes me doing that kind of stuff.
What?
He said she likes me to punch her?
She likes to be punched. So my brother's like, all right, shut up. And he asked the girl, hey, do you really like that? And the girl's like, yeah.
What?
And the guy was also tipsy. So my brother's like, well, I'm going to have to call the cops. And as soon as that happens, he takes off.
Yeah.
We grabbed his license plate and all that, but we don't know what happened after that.
Weird.
But, man, I was shocked that she said she liked it.
Yeah, but she may be sitting there, Manny, saying, yeah, I like it, because if I don't say I like it in this situation, I'm going to get hit 100 more times.
Yeah, what I said.
Yeah, you have no clue what you're wandering into sometimes, and it could go bad so quickly. And that's why I think people now, more than ever are kind of hesitant to get into this stuff.
I mean, I couldn't imagine having a girlfriend or even a date that's like, I'd like to get punched in the face. Yeah. I mean, you'll do that yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to be involved in that.
Well, or don't even.
Exactly, but also consider, you know, with not intervening, what is going to happen, what that near future is going to look like for that person.
Yeah.
I mean, you might just be relieving them of maybe one night of not getting punched in the face.
But you now got to consider from this guy's perspective who is in jail, like that's what he thought he was doing. He said, oh, you know, like his brain probably starts kicking around. He's like, I gotta step in here. I gotta put a stop to this. This is getting pretty heated.
He did, but then he threw a punch when the guy did not punch him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about exactly what happened in that scuffle between those two people because there's not a ton of details about it just yet. And we'll have to hear from this guy who is in jail now and what his defense is. Maybe there was a shove. Maybe there was something that started it. If there was, that changes everything. Here's Rusty with a dispatch.
Good morning, News Junkies. In regard to that guy punching that dude that fell and hit his head, first thing I would say is mind your business. Jesus, people, mind your own business. Everybody's got drama. You try to keep it out of public as much as possible, but sometimes it does spill over, and the last thing you need is somebody poking their head into the situation that doesn't even know what's going on. Secondly, I would say, if you really feel like something needs to be done and it's going to that level, you should have approached the management. You're at a business. It's their responsibility to keep everybody safe,
keep anybody calm
that's starting to fight or anything like that. So at the very most, you should have approached the manager, had a conversation with him, and let him address the situation. That is my opinion on the matter. Anyway,
later. Thank you, Rusty. Yeah, you could send in your dispatch, search for the News Junkie in the App Store, join the show, and pop in right along with us with what you think about what's going on in the world. And in this case, I think you have to consider that for all of us, there are things that we could see unfolding in front of our eyes that would prompt a response. Maybe it would be that you're an animal lover and you go outside and you're going for a walk and you see somebody giving their dog a few swift kicks because the dog did something wrong. Maybe you see somebody, and I've heard this many times before, who is like smacking their kid in public and you intervene. And these are all situations where something can go wrong. And it turns from you being a hero or trying to save the day into you now getting yourself involved in an altercation and perhaps getting into more trouble. And if we're all so cold to this that we never intervene, God, then we just have a world where terrible behavior is unfolding and nobody's doing anything to stop it.
Yeah,
that's why it's dicey. Like, it's hard to understand when you should and shouldn't jump in on this stuff. Let's go over to Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Sean. How you doing? Sabrina, C-Lan, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, so I had a friend one time who broke a promise saying that he wasn't gonna try to hurt this girl and came out with a water polo ball, a really heavy, you know, practice water polo ball.
All right.
And came out and just threw it right at her head, and you know, I just pushed him back and held him back, and then you know, anything, you know, it was a friend. They were personal friends, so it was a different situation. But in the long run, I'd say mind your own business about it. Mind your own business about it and just leave it alone.
So you were supposed to just sit there, Sean, and, like, if this guy wallops her.
No, I stopped him, Sean. I stopped him.
I know, but you're saying in the long run, mind your own business. Like, would you do it again?
If it was my personal friends like that, yes, absolutely. Now, if it's some strangers, hell no.
That's the big curveball. That's it. I mean, that's the curveball. If you don't know these people, you go, I don't know the background. I don't know the situation. What am I going to do? Should I be getting involved in this? Let's go over to Kevin with the dispatch from the News Junkie app.
Hey, Sean. This story about the guy who punched the guy who now brain dead reminds me a couple years ago about this Army Ranger that got into a bar fight, killed a guy, went to jail for about 9 years. Then he was on a plane and with a bunch of convicts, and the convicts overtook the plane.
Oh, come on, buddy.
They got away.
I know that some movie plot that I don't know. I always get roped up in those. Not this time, Kevin. Let's do just one more here. Here's Nova.
Hey, what's going on, Junkies? Hope everybody's good today.
You too.
I just wanted to talk about that story about the guy punching the 51-year-old man out and probably going to end up dying. But yeah, that's a tough situation. But yeah, I think he was right up to the point to where he actually threw the punch. There's actually a friend of mine that, you know, had a boyfriend from years ago that intervened in a situation where a kid was getting bullied. And the kid actually swung on him, and he had swung back, and the kid ended up getting knocked out and hitting his head on the curb, and he ended up dying. So
Jesus,
that guy, unfortunately doing a good deed, ended up getting locked up for manslaughter. So it's just a tough situation. But yeah, it's going to get people gunshot from helping out others and just standing there watching. I mean, we're already in the generation where everybody pulls their phone out. So, I mean, it kind of sucks, you know, somebody could really need some help. And, you know, with all these stipulations on certain things, you know, it's kind of scary out here.
Yeah, you feel bad about jumping in. Quickly to this Netflix documentary. I don't know if you have seen this, but this looks wild. Have you heard or seen anything about the new Netflix documentary Killer Ratings?
No, I haven't. I saw last night Adam and Satan, mm-hmm. which was really awesome, but I don't think that has anything to do with murder.
Killer Ratings is about a guy named Wallace Souza. You haven't heard about this either, C-Lane?
Nope.
This is a guy who is from Brazil, and he's a TV host. And all of a sudden, he's hosting one of the most popular TV shows in all of Brazil. It's an investigative journalism program. And they start targeting people who are murdering others, kind of like America's Most Wanted kind of thing, but in Brazil, Brazil's mm-hmm. Most Wanted, right? And ratings are through the roof. This guy becomes a household name. It looks pretty crazy because the twist, and I'm not giving anything away here.
About to say.
The twist is that he is accused of killing people to boost his ratings on the show. Like,
don't get any ideas, Sean.
They're sitting there and they're going, well, we don't have any crimes to follow right now. We need something to happen. And this guy would go out and kill people to have more stories to follow and then be able to go, hey, here's the crime scene. Here's where all this happened. It's a wild look behind the scenes, a case that they say is so surreal it feels like a horror movie. I imagine you'll hear more about this soon. If you have Netflix, it's called Killer Ratings. Let's squeeze in one more call here. Let's go to Rex. Go ahead, Rex.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, about 25 years ago, my sister got murdered. Her boyfriend killed her and her best friend, then killed herself.
Jesus.
So right after that, I was in outside a convenience store in Taft, Florida, and I pulled up, and this guy was just wailing on his girlfriend. I mean, just haymakers. So ain't nobody going to hit a woman around me. I'm old-fashioned, especially after that. So I intervened. I pulled him off of her. They called the cops, and when the cops got there, she said I was the one beating her up. They had to go to store surveillance and they arrested the guy.
Are you serious? So when the cops show up, they go, hey, it was this guy Rex here who was hitting me, and you were there saving the day.
Yeah, the chick is the one that did it. She's the one that said, oh, he's the one that attacked me. My boyfriend intervened. They had to go to store surveillance to clear my name, dude.
All of these things make people so much less likely to jump in and help when something bad's going on. And the problem there is, oh, it's something real bad's going on and somebody does need help, then that's the point when you're supposed to assist. But if you're questioning, you're like, I don't know the backstory here. That could be something that's deadly for people. Real quickly before the break, Amazon says the future is close. They're going to be making deliveries with drones, not in years, but in months.
Okay, I feel like I've heard you say that exact line before a couple years ago.
It says here, though, for realsies this time.
Oh, for realsies.
They said, Amazon said Wednesday of this week it plans to use self-piloted drones to deliver packages to shoppers' homes in the coming months. No exact timing, but very soon they'll be flying and landing your delivery right in your backyard. More of your dispatches when we come back, plus some drama in the world of NBA action. What's happening there? You'll hear about it next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
This season, you can hear Orlando City Soccer play on Real Radio 104.1 and FM 96.9 The Game. Go to realradio.fm/soccer for the broadcast schedule and latest soccer news.org. Real.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
NEOOMG
We'll check out some more of your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. But I got to tell you, it's hard to focus on the non-sports news stories going on, since behind the scenes, we have just been nonstop chatting, talking, sharing stats about the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. It's like we have a little huddle and we go, did you guys see the Warriors last night?
Yeah, man. Ooh. Raptors, they're just...
That was amazing. And like just the interactions and all the points and the hoops.
I actually, you know, I was devastated to miss some of it because of all the rain we got last night and mm-hmm. some of the storming.
Yeah.
Which, because I'm a lame homeowner guy now, I'm like, yes!
The grass
is being fed, drenched in water that I don't have to pay for. But also, that just means any bar that has DirecTV, all of the TVs go.
That's such a sad moment, too.
You know what? It's crazy to realize when you're at a bar that has that many TVs and the DirecTV goes out, it gets a lot darker. Like after one of the servers or bartenders realizes that it's so much darker and they have to go turn up the lights, because you don't realize how much of the lighting in an establishment is based on the televisions, number of televisions, and the programming that is on.
My favorite thing to watch when that happens, let's say there's some big sports events. Let's say it's the NBA Finals that's going on now.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Or a football or UFC thing. My favorite thing is the social switch that occurs. Everybody is watching and they're like, yeah, oh man, oh, this is great. And we're into it. And they're, you know, having fun back and forth, rooting for whichever team they're rooting for. And then, boom, all of the TVs go out to that DirecTV, like, screensaver thing. But it's not even a screensaver. It gives, like, instructions on how to get your DirecTV back up. And you start to see people slowly, like, oh, there's murmurs going. And then they start to get angry. And then the whole mood shifts dramatically.
No. I was thinking social switch-wise. My favorite when something like that happens, especially when it's a huge game or a huge playoff, and it starts storming, and then there's that one bar, and I think it's the Lodge, but there might be a couple of those. There's the one bar that goes, we have cable.
Everybody come
like,
over.
You know, the game is on. It's loud and clear.
People just lose their minds when the cable goes out like that, or the DirecTV goes out. And then the moment it kicks back on, it's like, yeah! You know, we forgot about what just happened in the last 10 minutes. But there's more things to be concerned about for the NBA Finals. Game 3 action was going on recently. I was watching all those alley-oops. Watching Toronto Raptors, one of my favorite teams.
Hitting the threes.
They're out there. And you know what? The Raptors won game 3. Just from memory, I believe it was 123-109.
Ooh.
I think that's what it was. I'm not reading this article in front of me right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm pretty sure you're right. And I'm only going to say that because you're reading the article.
Just right. This is just from my memory. It might be in front of me too, but
those are your notes from the game.
I took some. I jotted these down. With the Raptors looking to steal a game in Oakland, Kyle Lowry went all out to save a loose ball in the fourth quarter. At one point, Lowry went flying at full speed into the fan-seated courtside. After the hard collision, a fan off to the side shoved the guard from the Raptors. And you get like a pushing back and forth going on now during the game. You target this to attach it to the Drake stuff that's happened. I was thinking earlier, is there any sport where you can get closer than you can in basketball? It's expensive, but is there any sport that you can get that close? Basketball, you can literally put a chair on the court and you're a foot away mm-hmm. from where the actual gameplay is going on.
I'm trying to I mean, I would say maybe golf.
Golf, you can get pretty close. Golf, you can become part of the action because a ball goes outside of the, you know, the off the green and hits you or something.
Yeah.
Football, you're a ways back. You know, you're blocked away from it. And I wonder if at some point they go, look, we can't have this flow going so easily back and forth from people who are here to watch and people who are here to play. And when that's not going on, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but every once in a while, there'll be a court where the basketball court is actually raised up. That's weird. And like, I think they might do other things at the place where this court is. Like, maybe there's, like, an ice rink underneath or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the basketball court is actually raised up, and people, you know, just their heads are kind of poking up along where the side of the court is.
That seems dangerous.
Then they fly off and just land on you crowd surfing.
That, I don't think that's as common if there's something underneath it. Because usually if there's something underneath it, like an ice rink, like in Tampa, the Amalie Arena, formerly the Ice Palace, because the Lightning play there, they pretty much always have the ice underneath the floor.
Yeah, but it's not raised up real high.
Well, no, because the flooring surrounding the basketball court is also on top of the ice.
Yeah.
So everything is just a whole layer on top of it.
Right, yeah. I've seen it before where they're below and they're not right on the court. And I guess maybe they could go, oh, let's do this. I mean, right now, it's not a major issue, but there are a lot of little interactions going on that could lead to some issues there as fans seem to get more and more involved in the actual game that's going on. I saw this piece in the Atlantic today. I said, that's enough. That's enough for the Atlantic. I don't know how anybody could fight for this, but I'm seeing it more and more and more and more. And the Atlantic has a piece. This is the title in this today, a very serious outlet for journalism. The case for wearing AirPods all the time. And when I saw this, I thought, first of all, no. And second of all, why am I seeing so many people doing this? I saw two people walking from my car in the iHeartMedia parking lot to the door of the building. Two people with just rocking iPods. They just wear them all the time. Yeah. Delivery drivers and stuff. And it's dangling out of their ears all the time. And it makes it a little weird for like conversation if you have to run into them for anything, because you don't know if they're on the phone or if they're talking to you.
Yeah, you know, but I have to say, I'm not that surprised by it. I feel like all the people who have had the giant blinking Bluetooth or the ones that look like a headband, but they are on your neck, like, they've been doing that for years.
Yeah, these are people who just wear these all the time. But the EarPods in particular look stupid. I think they make some little tiny earbuds that you don't see at all, which will probably make the worst social interactions. But the EarPods are never going to draw me in.
You know what I find weird? My dad got a hearing aid that is Bluetooth compatible.
Really?
Yeah. So he has a hearing aid.
That will hook up to his phone?
Obviously to help him hear, but it will also Bluetooth to his phone, and he can just like play music in the thing.
Multitasking.
Which makes me think that is it still helping you hear if you're blasting Johnny Cash on that thing?
It's doing damage and helping at the same time. It just makes you always have that in. More and more people are doing this, and I wonder if that becomes a more common thing. Eventually, our hearing will evolve with it. It'll take a very, very long time.
Yeah, and on top of it, like, I hope the people that are wearing it all the time are giving it a good cleaning. Because if you're like, oh, well, I can't hear it that well because your earwax has now just chunked it up.
I don't know if it's just me, but if I do that, if I put, especially the regular iPhone headphones, I find them to be god-awful uncomfortable. Just really uncomfortable. But earbuds in general, if I wore them for like an hour, when I take them off, I'm going, oh my God. Like it's like a little painful. It hurts a little bit. It's not comfortable to have them. I can't imagine all day sitting there with those in your ears.
Because things are louder or just because there's been like pressure on your ear?
No, just that thing being in my ear the entire time. They're just not comfortable. And I know we'll have 100 recommendations for people who go, look, these ones are the best. This works fantastically.
I actually just got a pair of really, really nice Bluetooth headphones, $30, Amazon, little case like that, same little thing. As soon as you take it out of the case, it's connected.
Uh-huh.
It is discreet. It's beautiful. And you don't have wires choking you out.
I've seen some of them like that even have the little, like they have different things you put on the end so it fits your ear better. And it's supposed to be a little more of a custom fit. That doesn't do it for me.
I know a lot of musicians who do stuff like that, who get the custom fit for in-ear monitors, because especially drummers.
Right.
Because it's just a cleaner sound than, you know, having the old school like wedge next to you and stuff like that blaring at you.
It's everybody rocking the headphones 24/7 on this sometimes. Let's go over to some dispatches. Here's Grounds Guys with the dispatch.
Good morning, Junkie Crew. About this, you know, stepping in sometimes. 27 years ago, I stepped in when I was at a party and there was a guy, you know, grabbing and touching and being an a-hole to a particular female named Karen.
All right.
And the guy was about 350 pounds and jacked. And I'm 6 foot, and you can count every rib on my body. Uh-oh. And it was definitely a mismatched situation, but I definitely made a good impression. Because, one, I put an end to the issue, and now we've been married for 26 years.
Oh, really?
And that's why she said she gave me the time of day, because, you know, she was into redneck country boys, and here I am, moved down to Florida outside Orlando from Philadelphia, city boy wearing a duckhead sweatshirt. Surfboard racks on my car, which was a brand new sports car, and she's driving an old beat up pickup truck with shotgun racks in the back window, and of course the shotgun to go with it. Opposites in every way.
Well, there you go. It worked out in your case. In some cases, not so much. When we come back, the FBI drops a whole bunch of documents on the American public. These files, I swear to God, are about Bigfoot.
What?
The FBI drops their Bigfoot investigation files, releasing them to the public for the first time since 1976. And it's kind of interesting what they have and what they were looking into. We'll get into that and see where you are at on the whole Bigfoot thing when we return. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again, you want me to sign a petition?
It's a serious problem.
To bring back Snickerdoodle Coffee Kramer. Facebook.com/Real Radio Orlando Station.
Real Radio. 104.1.
The show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Fall. Whatever that means. This is the News Junkie.
I always find this stuff so odd. Maybe because I'm not a believer. You know, I'm too big of a skeptic to let myself believe. And sometimes I hate that because it would probably be more fun to believe in things like Bigfoot. To believe that Bigfoot was a real creature out there roaming in the woods and people were actually seeing it. I view it as almost like a level of LARPing. If you don't know what LARPing is, it's live action role playing.
Yes.
Where people go out into the woods or go out into some place and they all pretend to be doing something. I think that when people go on a Bigfoot hunt, it's just like people who are going ghost hunting. Nobody ever thinks they're going to find any ghosts. You're on this little social adventure and you're getting excited by it. Almost the same sort of vibe you get from a Ouija board, which is what made that so successful. It's always someone pushing the thing when you're playing Ouija. But Bigfoot has so many people wrapped up. It's become a major thing. Most of what I know about Bigfoot, I saw in a movie that I'm guessing neither one of you has seen. A little movie called Harry and the Hendersons.
Okay, I have not seen it. However, it is in the stack of DVDs I have at home.
Harry and the Hendersons is fantastic.
Never seen it.
Harry and the Hendersons... Well, can you look up the plot of that on IMDb? See, like, because it's something like this family trip goes awry when they run into a Bigfoot, and then they just like hang out with the Bigfoot the whole time and try to hide him from everybody else.
George Henderson, played by John Lithgow, returning to his suburban Seattle home, camping trip nearby Cascade Mountains, and they hit something with a family Ford Country Squire.
Yep. Out there in the woods, they run into them.
1987, of course. I was like, what's a Ford Squire?
1987, this thing was legendary. It had really bad special effects. Not Mac and Me level of bad, but really, really bad special effects. And it was just a fun movie. And because so many people like Bigfoot, it worked. People have created this whole cottage industry around Bigfoot. There are songs like this one.
Deep in the woods where the mysteries grow. There is a place where nobody goes.
I like the impact of having the crickets.
If you decide to go there alone, beware of the beast that makes it his home.
They have Bigfoot concerts. It's like a whole to do. Now, I don't believe in Bigfoot mostly because there's no such thing as Bigfoot.
Okay, but that's what somebody who doesn't believe in Bigfoot would say.
I don't believe in Bigfoot because I'm amazed that after the death of the guy who created Bigfoot, who admitted to making up the whole Bigfoot thing, the people were still like overwhelmed with the belief in Bigfoot.
Well, yeah, isn't the same go for Scientology?
Well, look, with Bigfoot, have you ever heard the story about the guy who came up with this whole thing?
Bigfoot? I imagine it has something to do with illicit drugs.
Ray Wallace was this old dude, and he liked to prank people, and he made like these things to leave big footprints out there, and he started telling people about, oh, there's a Bigfoot, and then when he died, the whole family told the story. And they're like, hey, we made this all up. This was the whole thing. There is no Bigfoot. But people persisted. And now, as of this week, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has released their pages, 22 in total, from their investigation into Bigfoot.
Bum, bum, bum.
From 1976, there was correspondence between the Bureau and something called the Bigfoot Information Center in Oregon. I'm looking at it here, so I don't want to spoil this for you. Let's beforehand, do you have any belief whatsoever, Sabrina, that Bigfoot may indeed exist?
I guess a smidgen would be up for the idea that it did exist at some point.
All right, so you think there could have been a Bigfoot, but there might not currently be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, just as I believe that there's life outside of Earth, there could have very well been a Bigfoot roaming around.
Was it a space Bigfoot?
Like, well, a space Bigfoot or a very giant man with uncontrollable hair growth.
Okay. All right. C-Lane, your thoughts, you believe that Bigfoot exists currently or ever existed before I read you the FBI file?
I have never believed in a Bigfoot.
All right. You don't believe? I think if there's any of those things that have a likelihood of being true, on top of that list, my friends, Chupacabra. The chupacabra, most likely of all of these weird fake animals to be a real fake thing. But the Bigfoot documents have been released by the FBI. And here's what they say. This is a writing from the FBI. It's a letter from the FBI to the Bigfoot people who sent in multiple hairs for testing. And it says, Mr. Howard S. Curtis and Mr. Curtis, the hairs which you recently delivered to the FBI laboratory on behalf of the Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition have been examined by transmitted and incident light microscopy.
Okay.
All right, that's what it is. Transmitted and incident light microscopy. The examination includes a study of morphological characteristics such as root structure, medullary structure, and cuticle thickness, in addition to scale casts and more. Also, the hairs were compared directly with hairs of known origin under a comparison microscope. Are you ready? Drum roll, please, for the investigation results. The FBI just releasing this week. They looked into the Bigfoot hairs, and here's what they said. It was concluded as a result of these examinations that the hairs are from a deer. Sorry that's about your luck.
That's hilarious that they have been sitting on a collection of hair. Of all the hairs you could find in the forest, they're like, oh my God.
This is it.
This is Bigfoot's hair, even though we walk maybe 40 feet to the left and we'll find the same exact thing because deers live here.
We got the Bigfoot hair. This might have been a big ass deer or something instead. Let's go over to Catherine. Go ahead, Catherine.
Otherwise known as Red on the Head.
Well, go ahead, Red on the Head.
Good morning. Hey. This has been my new obsession lately.
What, Bigfoot has?
One.
Bigfoot's been your obsession?
Yes. Watching videos on YouTube and listening to podcasts. There's a really good one called Sasquatch Chronicles.
No.
And I've listened to almost all the episodes, and I am telling you, there are grown men that are telling their experiences that shudder, that cry,
Right, Catherine. You can't say that.
The FBI is full of S.
I'm so sorry.
Aaron, I'm sorry. You want to check your front door right now. The Secret Service is there to talk to you.
So just to be clear, Catherine.
There is a reason the government's hiding them.
Just to be clear, Catherine, you trust the guy who's running the Sasquatch podcast with a bunch of crying dudes talking about their experiences over the Federal Bureau of Investigation on the Bigfoot topic?
Yes, sir. Right. Absolutely.
Convince me.
If all of these people are lying, could one of them be telling the truth? Thousands and thousands of people telling their stories on different platforms.
All right, give me the most compelling evidence, Catherine, that you've learned in your new obsession in the Bigfoot world.
There are a few videos on YouTube of them.
Mm-hmm.
Real video. That they caught them on film.
Okay, you say them, so you're under the belief that there's more than one Bigfoot, or is Bigfoot like the king of the Sasquatches and there's actually a few other ones roaming through?
The difference in them goes from coast to coast between their hair, their size,
color. Same with me.
Color.
What do you call a group of Bigfoots?
Sasquatch.
Is it Big Feet? Is it Bigfoots? Is it Big... What's the name for that?
I don't know. Maybe a clan?
A clan of Bigfoot. All right. Well, that sounds pretty impressive.
Wait. Would plural of Bigfoot be Big Feet?
That's what I just said, C-Line. I just said that.
But wait a second. Never mind.
Catherine.
What is it, Sabrina?
Would it be Bigfoot or Big Feet if it's a group of them?
All right. Enough.
Bigfoots.
Catherine.
A clan of Bigfoot.
Catherine, deal with me here for a second. You're now obsessed with Bigfoot because you've seen some YouTube videos of some idiots who put on ghillie suits and wander around the forest to impress their friends, and now you believe that Bigfoot's real.
And I've heard thousands of testimonies.
Like from people that aren't crazy?
Former police officers, ambulance drivers, hunters especially. Yeah.
All right. She believes it. Even after the FBI drops this document on us that says it was just a deer hair they had the whole time, she says they're full of S. Don't ever believe them. You got to trust the people doing the Sasquatch podcast. My favorite Bigfoot video is one that I don't think ever made it to the online world. There was a guy a few years back who was trying to make his own Bigfoot video, and he put on a ghillie suit and he went out with his friends and stuff. And he got plowed by a car while he was out there and died.
And the twist of it all is that Bigfoot was driving the car.
That was actually the inspiration for Harry and the Hendersons.
It could have been, actually. Let's go over to Errol. Go ahead, Errol.
Hey, so I don't believe, like, in a Bigfoot
Shut him down.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's move over to Brett. Go ahead, Brett.
Look, first off, the effects in Harry and the Hendersons were great. When he smiles at the camera, warms my heart, okay? Warms my bloody heart. Now, wasn't it just a couple of months ago we were saying UFOs, whatever, don't believe in it, but now we've got Navy pilots top of their game that are allowed to come out and every day, like, no, we are seeing this. This is happening.
Yeah, I did see this.
That's a good point.
A couple of mountain men crying on a podcast. We need to believe these guys. Moonshiners are shuddering, and we need to believe them because they're the top of their game. They're making the best corn whiskey out in the middle of nowhere, and they're seeing things.
There's no chance any of this is just an exaggeration.
Don't get upset.
By drunk mountain men.
Well, I mean,
okay.
He brings up the corn whiskey, and if you don't make it just right, you got to pour off the first few things, or else that's the really strong stuff that could blind you.
They're drinking that.
Yeah.
They're getting into the stuff you're not supposed to, and then they're seeing Bigfoot. He is right about these UFO files, though. They've released some more documents. We're getting all the freaky documents in 2019. And this time they're saying, like, look, some of these pilots saw stuff while they were flying around. I think that if there was another group of humans or some other race out there that was trying to get in contact with us, and they were smart enough to get this far and traveled to wherever we are, they'd probably be smart enough to hide and stay away from us once they peeked in to what was happening here on this blue marble we call planet Earth. That's what I think they would probably see. There's also so many cool theories about life on Earth from other planets, like the ice theory, I think it's called the ice theory, that somewhere else there's a whole civilization, but their planet is coated in a ring of ice, so they can't escape. There's no atmosphere, so they can't float out to where we are. Look, I think all these things are interesting, dynamic conversations that are playing out. But Bigfoot is stupid and totally not real.
You're right. No, a sphere of ice is totally smart, though.
Hey, it's another planet in another galaxy. A scientific theory suggests that if there's another planet where they can't actually access space, that's why they can't get here.
And this was information you heard on a podcast?
No, this is a legitimate scientific interpretation of why we have not interacted with other life forces.
So you were
there
in the lab with the scientists and they gave you that information?
No, I just read it. I read what they had put out.
Just like she read about Bigfoot?
Please, she heard it on some little Sasquatch podcast. I can't believe that stuff. Tyler, go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, look, I'm not one to believe in Bigfoot, but here recently, me and my old lady been watching this stuff on TV called Paranormal Caught on Camera.
Uh-huh.
And there was this one clip that they showed, okay? Now, remember, I'm not really a big believer in this guy, but there was this video that they showed where these people out in, like, Tennessee or whatever on their farm, they had a good couple acres and whatnot, and about 50 yards away, they saw this thing, like, walking over the hill. And they didn't really, pay much attention to it. But like a month or two later after that video was put out, the thing appeared again, but a lot closer, probably like 20 yards away. And it got closer, but like walking past their land.
Why does it just walk up to them?
Well, I don't know. Would you walk up to Bigfoot?
No, why does a Bigfoot walk up to the people?
Well, I'm getting to it. It actually, they were like screaming at it because it was getting closer, and then it stopped and it like full charged these people and the people started running away. But I mean, that's like the only video I've ever seen that was like kind of made me think, you know, maybe that maybe he's real.
There's a whole series, I think it's called Searching for Bigfoot or Finding Bigfoot. It's 5-6 seasons long. Spoiler alert, they never find Bigfoot because there's no Bigfoot. It's like these ghost shows. Spoiler alert, they never find the ghosts because there aren't actually ghosts out there. That's how this all ends. I hate to do that to you, but that's just the way the story ends. Let's go to some of your dispatches and see what's happening where you are. Here is Javier with a first ever dispatch. First of all, thank you, Javier, for sending this in. Second of all, let Javier encourage you to download the app right now. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Here's Javier's first dispatch.
Good day, my friend junkies. Love the show.
Thank you.
You know, I was dating this girl back in Colombia. We were going to take the bus. It was late. Everybody was drunk. A lot of people in the street. And we saw this couple fighting. And the girl just, like, spit on the guy's face.
Spit
and
on
I was like,
face?
Okay, this is not my business. And the guy's like grab her very hard from the wrist, but the girl that I was dating, she started yelling at him, hey, don't do that, stupid, just don't grab her. And the guy told her, you shut up, stupid, beautiful. And I was like, okay, now I have to say something.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, hey, what you gonna do, stupid? And I was gonna
punch. All right, so there's a lot of stupids going on. Somebody spit on somebody's
stupid
face.
Are you a stupid? No, you're stupid.
There wasn't a lot of variation in insult happening, but people are mad is what Javier is saying.
And he pulled a knife, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh,
and I just
stupid.
Started yelling, hey, he has a knife, and he's punching women.
Oh,
and everybody started like surrounding him. But the thing was, the woman started defending him, so nobody could do anything. We just left. Funny thing was that we talked the same bus, and we were just cursing each other all the way.
They got on the same bus?
If you don't have nothing to protect yourself, or you don't know if you can win the thing, just keep it going and tell somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. Stay out of it sometimes.
I want to hear a story from him once a week.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I love. He's a punching women's.
Here's Matthew.
Stupid.
Matthew has a dispatch for us.
Not for nothing, but I've had more than one girl request to be pushed, shoved, choked.
That's weird, man.
Punched, hair pulled, spanked.
Okay.
It's called masochism. Some girls really like that stuff.
There's a blatant difference between BDSM and somebody wanting to get punched in the face.
Yeah, there might be some underlying issues that you could take the opportunity to find out. Hey, is everything okay? Something happened in your past that you want me to deck you in the face right now?
You can't equate, I've been with somebody that said, pull my hair, to I've been with somebody who wants me to routinely punch them in the nose. That's just different. One more. Here's Natural High with a dispatch.
when I went in to get my concealed weapons permit, the police officer that was training us told us he was at the grocery store.
Seen a
husband and wife fighting. The husband was just beating the snot out of his wife. He intervened, got the husband off of her, got him on the ground, handcuffs. He was off duty at the time. And then he just felt wetness coming down his back.
Uh-oh.
The guy's wife got up, pulled out a knife, and started stabbing him in the back.
Oh, like, man.
15 stabs or something like that. So,
didn't
mind
even call
your own
him
business.
Stupid first. Yowza.
I guess he was a cop, so.
Yeah, it's his job to be minding, or not minding his own business, natural high. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll do the next episode with... Yeah. Oh, no, we still got more time before that. Oh, we've got to get to this black metal guy who is very, very upset at YouTube. I mentioned that earlier, and we haven't actually gotten into the story. You're going to want to hear this, and that plus more of your thoughts is coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia coming up at 1 o'clock. The next episode in just a little bit. Make sure you're joining along with us. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store to download the app. Pop quiz, everybody. And in this pop quiz, there are no wrong answers. What is the biggest problem in America right now, according to you? Oh. What do you say? Could
Man,
be anything.
Pop quiz?
It could be anything. There's no wrong answer. What is the biggest problem in America right now?
Wow. May I please have one more second to think of
that? C-Lane, what is the biggest problem in America right now? Could be anything. There are no wrong answers.
Plastic straws.
It seems like it
sometimes. That seems like it's a wrong answer.
It seems like it sometimes.
I think that people are too depressed.
All right. Depression, maybe that factors into some
mental,
of these things.
Mental health.
They asked Americans in a massive, massive survey done by Pew Research Center, which is one of the better outlets out there. And they looked into all these adults in the United States and asked them, what is the biggest problem? What are the key issues and what is the biggest problem that is facing America right now? On top of that list, I 100% agree with it. 100% agree with it. Drug addiction was number one. 70% of them said drug addiction. And then what they mean there is the opioid crisis, right? Let's get particular about this. This isn't about anything else. It's about the opioid crisis and that driving people to heroin and other places from there. Drug addiction is a major, major scourge in this country. And 70% of people said that is number one for them. Number two, I also agree with 67% of people said the affordability of health care. And that's a lot of people. You, as I said before, it's hard to get 6 out of 10 people to agree on anything. It's hard to get people to agree on that with not only a majority, but a decent majority. Now, 52% said the biggest problem in the country today is the U.S. political system. 51% said the gap between the rich and the poor. And then we settle in on what's getting the most headlines today. Americans view fake news as a bigger problem than terrorism, which shows you kind of where we're at in a couple of different ways here. They view fake news. 50% of people said this was a major issue and major problem for Americans, fake news. And you got to start somewhere. So I start with this. What is fake news? And I think that's a complex question, even though it sounds very simple, because the word is the phrase has been used so much it's kind of lost all meaning. Fake news to me is something that is deliberately, for political reasons or otherwise, manipulated information to misconstrue a point and mislead the American public. That is fake news is, I could best boil it down for me. It could be a fake satire site that puts out a piece of news that people start paying attention to. It could be some political social media page, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Facebook. They're trying to get you to agree with them, or and they post some stuff out there. That's the way I've always viewed this. Some people just take anything they disagree with and say it's fake news. That's not true. That's fake news. The survey finds that Americans feel more worried today about fake news because it's undermining their key their trust in key institutions like the government and the media. The only institutions that really matter to us in terms of keeping us together, the government and media, are completely being worn away by all these fake news issues out there. The only issues that rank higher are, are drug addiction and affordability of health care, and also the income gap, as I mentioned. So they go over this, and here's who they blame when it comes to all this fake news stuff. 57% of people place the blame on political leaders, 53% on activist groups, 36% on journalists, 35% on foreign actors, and 26% on the public. Now, the way I actually see this is the journalists are roped in with the political leaders and the activist groups because the journalists are the ones pushing this information out and not double-checking, not going in there and investigating to see whether a report that they write is based on facts or whether these activist groups have had them. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. It happens a lot with political leaders. There's somebody who's a progressive politician will approach the Washington Post and go, here's what's going on. And instead of checking into this, they'll just do an article about it and run wild. But the journalists are heavily involved in fake news. Fake news that gets everybody riled up and out of control. The Covington kids, all these examples of where it's just the facts are lost. It's just nonsense run amok.
Well, why do you need facts when you just have a juicy headline?
That's what makes a lot of this roll. It's money that they make off of the articles and getting the attention. It's other things, too. A lot of times they're scared. I mean, I really think with the Central Park 5 stuff, there's people just scared. They don't want to go after this tidal wave of activists that are just so focused on complete misinterpretations of this story. That's one of the most heated hot button ones going on. And it's an absolute fairy tale that's being told. And it's absolute fake news by some of the organizations that are pushing this stuff out there. These are the things that make people mad. These are the things that get people upset. And sometimes if you have the truth, which I, again, will say is the most important thing, the truth is the hardest thing to tell. And sometimes people don't want to hear that. But that's why all this stuff really takes root. I agree 100% with drug addiction being number one, though. I mean, that is causing issues with crime, with violence, with all sorts of different stuff. But this is certainly making us fight. It's making people argue with one another. And it's not helping the dialogue in the United States in the slightest. YouTube is jumping in on this action with their clampdown on hate speech, including somebody who has a YouTube account that's in a black metal band in Norway. And it's a band called Burzum. Vikernes? I don't know how to say this guy's name. Varg Vikernes, who is known as Louis Catchett, has been deleted from YouTube. And he's saying this whole clampdown on speech on YouTube is absolutely nuts. A lot of other people are joining in on this. It's a mess so far, everything that they've done. And we'll have to push that back and get into it maybe after live trivia or in just a little bit. Moses DeWitt should be heading in today, hanging out with us in a little while. And when we come back, the next episode with Sabrina, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
When you're done rearranging the deck chairs.
I'm not holding it in. I'm going to be fine.
Of course you'll be fine.
407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio 104.
His attorneys.
Real Radio.
Mainlining today's top stories.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Lawson.
Cause you die, it's just the time of your life.
True. Trivia in just a bit here, so get the app ready, fired up, and prepare yourself to answer as quickly as you can when the questions appear. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store if you don't have it just yet. Right now, let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Ba-booty, ba-booty.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode? Next episode brought to you by Center Family Moving and Storage. Family-owned and operated, and I love them so much. They helped me move. They made the process so much easier, and trust me, there's still a lot of stress. Boy, it's hot. Let the professionals do the heavy lifting for you. They are the best, hands down. Go to centomoving.com. 29 years ago, 1990, a judge in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, he ruled that this album...
Oh, Two Live Crew?
That's right. As Nasty As They Want to Be was obscene, making it illegal to sell. 2 days later, a Florida record store owner was jailed and later convicted for selling the LP that included hits like this one, Me So Horny, Put Her in the Buck, or DK Almighty. How about I Ain't BSing or Get Loose Now, The F Shop?
Oh, that's a good one.
Or The Seven Bezos, If You Believe in Having Sex, and one of my favorites, Badass Bitch. But now, totally legal to download. You guys can do it. I wonder what that record store owner's doing now.
It's a weird thing to go to jail for.
And it's a weird thing to go to jail, or at least the Bayhive jail, if would ever be a thing. But a previously unknown rich person has violated Beyonce's private space at the NBA Finals, and now the internet's going absolutely nuts for it. Apish, as they say. Now, future Oscar winner for a standout performance of The Lion King, Beyonce, she stopped by the NBA Finals with her husband last night. As it tends to do, footage quickly circulated of a conversation taking place between Jay-Z and the Warriors owner's wife, Nicole Lacobbe. Lacobbe? Nicole Lacobbe. Now in the clip, Beyonce, she has a stare that could probably take out an entire NBA Finals arena. Branded fluoride stare. It is deadlocked at Lacobbe as she leans across her lap to make small talk with Jay-Z, and good God, that is a bold move living in a post-Lemonade world. An entire album. Now Bayhave has jumped on Nicole, trying to find out who she is and what the hell she was thinking. After spending an embarrassing long time searching, the folks over at Jezebel have found out that Nicole Lacobbe's online identity only is one thing. Warrior Nicole. It is a very grainy photo of a television screen, and the caption, "We should all help and support each other." Which is right, but don't lean across Beyonce, or you will have your picture circulating around the internet.
I feel like this stuff happens in a microsecond, and it really isn't a big deal, and the people like zoom in, and they slow it down.
And then we have something to talk about the next day. This guy's still around.
Ja Rule!
And Ja Rule, what the hell are you thinking, bud? And I quote... Ja Rule still thinks Fyre Festival was a good idea.
All right.
He continues to defend the festival. He was over at, are they considered our cousin station or sister station, the Breakfast Club?
That's just a morning show. But yeah, the Beat is our sister station.
And they play the Breakfast Club. Okay, so our sister station was playing our cousin's radio show, the Breakfast Club. And he continued to defend it, saying it was such a mess. It spurred not only one or two documentaries... also, he's getting sued, so is Billy McFarlane while he rots in jail. But hey, it was an amazing idea. Let's not act like every effing buddy wasn't coming to the Fyre Festival, he said during the interview. It was effing done wrong. It was organized bad. The idea of it was dope. The marketing was dope. Everything was done very right on the end. The execution was extremely bad, man.
Everything was done very right, except for the thing itself.
Yeah, Ja Rule, I'm going to see your dope and raise you Andy King and the Evian water that he was willing to mop for, that he was prepared to give oral services for water.
What a loyal employee.
I see what he was getting at, though. It was a really cool idea. They just really, really didn't do it.
Well, don't worry. He's still mad at Billy. He says, he lied to me, man. He lied to me in a lot of ways, yet the experience has not soured the rapper on festivals. Sure, I'd like to do another festival and do it right, because that's what I intended to do in the first mother effing place. What's his name? Marvel fans, maybe we should just get off the internet for a little bit.
Wait, what happened?
There is another petition with this damn movie. Marvel fans have launched an online petition calling for an alternative ending of Avengers Endgame to be made.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. I mean, we're about a month out already, right? A month and a half. They want to change the ending because in the conclusion we saw a very pivotal character die.
Don't spoil it.
Forever. You might use him on a wrinkly piece of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Before Avengers.
Come on, people haven't seen it.
Well, that's not my fault. It's time for you to see it, and it's crazy to me that they haven't seen a spoiler yet.
You say that, but you yourself wrote blank dies on a piece of paper and held it up for me.
I didn't tell anybody it was Iron Man.
Well, they want to bring him back to... You just did. They want to bring Tony...
You gave all the spoiler alerts, so we're under a blanket of protection.
We'll call him Sony Stark. They want to bring him back to life. As of this morning, it almost hit 50,000 signatures saying he didn't deserve this. It's not fair. Everything he's been through, done for everybody, deserves to be alive. It's so important.
Making petitions digital was one of the worst ideas in all of humanity.
Yeah, because all the other petitions that might actually work will not be trending, but this Avengers one that will go nowhere is. So we'll see what happens. Over in Russia, they have just ordered that Tinder hand over user data and messages to intel agencies. So, hey, maybe it's not all that bad over here. President Putin wants to see all those, are you up? You down to see a pee-pee picture? In recent years, the country has taken on legislation to tighten its control over the online activity. As part of this, companies have to store 6 months of user data and hand it over to the government if requested. Tinder says it's registered to be compliant, but hasn't handed over any data to Putin or his people. Chris Kattan, though, he's handed over some information.
He's got a book out or something, doesn't he?
Yes, and in the book, he claims Lorne Michaels, Saturday Night Live, producer of All Things Funny, most things, they pressured him into having sex with the director back in the days of A Night at the Roxbury. In his memoir, which is respectively titled Baby Don't Hurt Me, Kattan says director Amy Heckerling...
Is it really?
Yes. slated to helm the 1998 movie when she came onto him. Now, Kattan, he was 27 then. He writes that he rebuffed the 43-year-old clueless director's advances, but the next day he got a call from a furious Lorne Michaels, who allegedly told him Heckerling was considering backing out of the project unless she got to back that ass up into Kattan.
Huh.
And Michaels allegedly told them Paramount would only do the movie if Amy signed on as a director, not as a producer. If he wanted to make sure the movie happened, then he had to keep Amy happy. Chris, I'm not saying you have to F her, but it wouldn't hurt.
Just take a bullet.
So they say this did not happen. Show reps say that the publisher never contacted them to verify the claims. He alleged that he ultimately had consensual sex on the couch in her office, and she thought it would be fun to have sex on Lauren's desk. And he said, F no, let's just do it on the couch.
Oh, man.
Now the daughter's coming out denying the claims of the sexual coercion, saying she saw no evidence of her mother seeing or even talking to Chris Kattan or being under Chris Kattan at any time.
Is the woman dead or something? What?
I don't know.
Yeah, why are we not hearing from the actual person who's alleged to have
done it? She's alive. That's weird.
If she doesn't want to talk about it. Why not have, if your kid is old enough to speak for you on Hollywood sexual coercion stories, then give her a job and let her speak for you, right?
She's directed some pretty popular movies. Besides Night at the Roxbury, Clueless, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and Look Who's Talking.
Huh. Well, Look Who's Not Talking, the cast of this show, because it's canceled now.
Sounds familiar.
Well, actually, can't necessarily say the title because their last name
S
is
Creek.
Can we call it Shards
Creek? Okay, Shards Creek.
Shards Creek. Now, unfortunately, if you haven't seen it, fantastic show. I am very much obsessed with it, but it has come to an end. And apparently, they went ham on the props and took everything.
Everybody just took all the stuff from the last day?
Yes, Variety said they took stuff by the armload following the wrap of the sixth and final season. It looked like I was raiding the place, Annie Murphy said. I had my arms full of paintings and plants, one of which was Elmdale College diploma featuring her degree in marketing and public relations. Catherine O'Hara, for her part, nabbed some things she could actually use, like the over-the-top closet full of patterns, jewels, and wigs. Cheating on a dresser to a point of wheeling out a dresser. Dan Levy made off with Rose Apothecary first receipt. The Eugene Levy grabbed some of the family portraits that hung on the wall. Oh. They hold more value because they were the very first things we did on the show that were taking those family stills even before we started shooting. Very sweet, but not as awesome as, of course, O'Hara's brand new wig collection. So that's all you got to do. Steal stuff. And then if you have a chance to sell it, maybe Live Nation will give you aisle seats at concerts because they're now going to make them more expensive. Live Nation recently started selling aisle seats at select shows with a surcharge that adds an additional $5 to $30 to your ticket price solely for having the convenience of easy access to refreshments, restrooms, and venue exits.
Yeah, because concert tickets weren't expensive enough already.
Oh, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, premium aisle seats coming to your bank account near you, and then it'll take money out of it, and you can use the bathroom quicker. On the Boob Tube, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, third season finale of Paradise Hotel, lip sync battle will have the younger stars Molly Bernard and Nico Tortella. And you can catch Mindy Kaling on Colbert. Have a great, great, great Thursday, my friends. And remember to
smoke weed every day.
Aggie Sabrina live trivia up next. Now, now is the moment you jump on the phones because guess what? Skywall summer prize upgrades are in effect. That means you can get a badass prize upgrade like flat screen TVs, tablets, Amazon Echoes, all kinds of good stuff. For you, all you have to do is make sure you listen to the show and then do exceptionally well in live trivia. So jump on the phones now, and we'll see if the coin flip goes in your favor. 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head-to-head, and you're playing along on the News Junkie app, so best of luck over there. 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again.
Hey, you want to see pictures of my new spice cabinet?
Okay. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlandition. If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
'Cause I don't want you to leave. I wanna take your dream.
Live trivia in just a moment, and we'll see if somebody gets a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade. All you have to do is listen to the show, then you play live trivia, squeeze in on the phones. And Sealand's got great prizes already, but you'll get a shot at guessing a coin flip and getting an upgrade, something pretty amazing. And throughout the month of June and the month of July, there'll be some great stuff that is worked in, including maybe something fantastic today if we have a winner. We'll have to find that out. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. Play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store. And now, live trivia.
That is live trivia for a Thursday, June 6, 2019. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out. We'll see if we get a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit play. And you're playing along in the News Junkie app. Let's find our players on the phones. How about you, Kat? Are you there? Kat, are you there? Oh, I'm not even hearing any semblance of activity over there. Sorry, Kat. How about Big Joe? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we got you. Big Joe is ready to go. And Big Joe versus Bigfoot. Are you there, Bigfoot?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Bigfoot and Big Joe, those are our players in live trivia today. Best of luck to the two of you. Let's get started with question number one. A routine helicopter rescue turned frightening when the basket carrying an injured 74-year-old woman began doing this during the rescue. Was it swinging furiously back and forth, falling apart, spinning uncontrollably, or catching on fire? Big Joe.
Spinning uncontrollably.
Bigfoot.
Spinning, yo.
You say spinning too, and we'll go to question number two. Sarasota police say a charter boat captain went on a drunken, drug-infused tirade and threatened to shoot everyone during a nightmare fishing trip on his charter boat. What was the name of the boat? Was it Tuna Montana? What the Float? Double Marker? Or Buoyance? Bigfoot.
What the Float.
Big Joe.
We'll do the same thing.
All right, number three. New signage displayed around a public pool in Iceland has gone viral. It's now sparking debate because the pool has officially banned men from doing this. Have they banned blow-drying of your genitals, wearing banana hammocks, masturbating, or shaving your body hair? Big Joe.
We're going to go with shaving your body hair.
Bigfoot.
Blow-drying their genitals.
All right, you're disagreeing on that, so maybe one of you is right. We'll see. Number four. A team of Canadian researchers claim that a popular playground activity is actually a tool of bullying and oppression targeting students. Which playground activity did they study? Was it Red Rover, kickball, hopscotch, or dodgeball? Bigfoot, you're up.
Oh, dodgeball.
All right, what do you think, Big Joe?
Red Rover.
We go on to number five. Police in Louisiana are reminding residents to keep 911 calls limited to emergencies because somebody called 911 to report this. Did they say Taco Bell was out of shells? That they forgot their Wi-Fi password? That Chick-fil-A was out of lemonade? Or that breaking news interrupted American Idol? Big Joe.
Let's go with the Taco Bell.
All right, Bigfoot.
Wi-Fi.
You say Wi-Fi. Number six, the woman who went viral for claiming she had three boobs now says she found a surgeon willing to perform the surgery to give her that third breast for real. What is her name? Is it Mistress Trinips, Delilah Bosom the Third, Jasmine Tridevil, or Madam Tribub? Bigfoot.
Dang, I hate that girl. Tridevil.
Okay. Big Joe.
Yeah, Jasmine Tridevil.
Everybody still remembers that, huh? Number seven. Yesterday, we learned that in 2006... actor and comedian David Cross was the first investor in this company. Was David Cross the first investor in Uber, Snapchat, Kickstarter, or Pinterest? Big Joe.
What was the first one you said?
Snapchat? Is it Uber, Snapchat, Kickstarter, or Pinterest?
Pinterest.
And Bigfoot.
Let's do the same.
Battle of the Bigs today. Bigfoot and Big Joe. One of them's got to be the winner. I know this. If you want big trucks, badass trucks, in fact, you go to Nation's Trucks. There's a lot of places out there that will say they're going to give you the best deal in town or that their sales process is unbeatable. And Nation's Trucks is the only one telling the truth out there. You'll see an amazing selection on their website, nationstrucks.com. And then you'll see how they operate over there. You know, Gary, Nation's Truck, super nice guy, goes out to all the stuff that we do, wants to interact with people who listen to the show, and is so happy when you know damn well you deserve a better truck, and you choose to go to Nation's Trucks, because when you leave there, you're going to be happy with the deal that you got. So go see Gary and the folks over there right now, and check out all the deals on the lot over at nationstrucks.com. Big Joe, Bigfoot, let's do it. Number one, a helicopter rescue took a crazy turn when the 74-year-old woman inside a basket started doing this.
Big Joe and Bigfoot both said spinning uncontrollably, and that answer was right.
Spinning round and round and round, and I don't know how the lady survived that. It was pretty intense at one point there. It's still up on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. A charter boat captain went a little too far into the yacht rock summer mood when he was drinking, doing cocaine, and threatening to shoot everybody as well on his charter boat. What was it called?
Both the players said, what the float, and that was floating wrong.
Oh.
Apparently I have a new buzzer now.
That was Something.
Yeah, it was the correct answer, double marker.
Is that, did somebody replace the old buzzer with that?
Yeah, they did. But I just need to locate my old one and we're good to go.
There, thank God. The other buzzer sucks. Number three, new signage around a pool says men are banned officially from doing this.
Big Joe said shaving their body hair, and that answer was incorrect. It was Bigfoot that said blow-drying their genitals, and that answer was right.
Number four, a team of Canadian researchers have said you should not be playing this game.
Big Joe said Red Rover said no points right over. It was Bigfoot that said dodgeball, and that answer was right.
Number five, police in Louisiana once again have to remind people, please don't call 911 for these dumbass reasons. Somebody called for this reason.
Bigfoot said the guy called because he forgot his Wi-Fi password. That answer was incorrect. It was Big Joe that said Taco Bell was out of shells, and that answer, yo quiero.
Number six, the woman who went viral for claiming she had three boobs and was on the show is now thinking about doing it for real. What's her name?
Both the players said Jasmine Tri-Devil, and that answer was right.
Number seven, we learned that David Cross from Arrested Development was one of the first investors in this.
Both the players, Big Joe and Bigfoot, said Pinterest, and that answer was incorrect.
Not a good ending.
The correct answer, Kickstarter, but we do have a winner of live trivia, and that's Bigfoot!
All right! Not real, but he's really a winner in this case. Bigfoot, congratulations to the winner of live trivia today. Here's what happens next. First, a simple question. Do you want to go for the Skywall Summer Prize upgrade?
Let's do it.
All right, why not? I mean, there's no reason not to, really. We should just automatically do it. The second question, heads or tails, Bigfoot?
Let's go with the tails.
He's going with tails. Here it goes. Coins up, coins down. Tails it is!
Yes.
Oh, man! Damn it! Why is everybody getting it? All right, hang on tight, Bigfoot. I should be less honest about this.
Do you want to use a real coin?
I've got a coin sound effect, and then the coin on here is supposed to be just as fair. I mean, I guess I could try using a real quarter. My fear is that it'll fall. It'll fall down here and then end up in the trash.
He just lost his pen.
I know. I'm losing everything around here. It's a complete mess. But congratulations to you, Bigfoot. You win a Bluetooth speaker, an Anchor Soundcore 2, waterproof. These things are killer. They're nice and loud. Bring it anywhere with you for this summer. Take it on the beach, my man. Bigfoot on the beach with his speaker is in the future for you. Or, if you don't want that Skywall Summer Prize upgrade, we do have more options for you. What do we have, C-Lay?
I have a pair of tickets to the Orlando Science Center featuring the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the four heroic ninjas that you can join and train alongside with Master Splinter. Discover the importance of teamwork, creative thinking, training, and humor. And you can get all your tickets and your info there at osc.org. Also, a four-pack of tickets to the advanced screening of Shaft, New Line Cinema's action comedy, the next chapter in the film franchise featuring the coolest private eye on any New York City block, Samuel L. Jackson, opening June 14th nationwide.
All right, thank you. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top spot for a Thursday with 2,600 points, the Dita has taken the lead from Swilly, who has been pushed down to fifth place. Ask Holyo at two, Fancy Nancy, Jerry Sue's. My name is Chip. Please keep me anonymous at 6. Took my Chevy to Levy, but the Levy was Bri at 7. Famunda, Dr. Love's Cupcake, and Laser Blade at that 10th spot. Back five look like Seg, Eddie Ray, Just the Tip, J Flow, and BDM for Life.
All right, thank you all for playing along. You too can get in on the action. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store, and you can play live trivia. You can set up your account to send in dispatches. It's so easy to do all this. You can even jump into the chat room and hang out with everybody. You can subscribe to Secret Shows with another one on the way, recorded today, released tomorrow. Listen to interviews. It's all there. And it's time for you to jump on board. Do it right now. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store, and you'll be all set for tomorrow. When we come back, we'll finally get to this black metal YouTube thing, and a bunch of different websites are changing the way they operate. Could you be getting banned soon? We'll figure that out next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
.com.
Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
filling you in on the shocking details. Just try not to pass out. This is the News Junkie.
Dispatches in just a moment, and in a bit we'll have Moses DeWitt from the DeWitt Law Firm. If you have any legal questions, be sure to hit us up for that. But I've been talking about this the whole time and never got to it. The Norwegian black metal band performer, and he also has a YouTube channel. He's in the black metal band Burzum is the best I can do, and his name is Varg Vikernes. Who has this account with a whole bunch of videos. He was one of the many people deleted and banned from YouTube yesterday after they announced plans to delete thousands of videos and channels promoting hate speech. Hate speech in quotes, because that floats. You know, you figure out what that means as you're doing it. I said before, this is a tough and bad thing for YouTube to get involved in. Because as you do, now all of a sudden you got to make unbelievable decisions, like Sophie's Choice, type of decisions, as you're trying to figure out what's offensive, what's hate speech, and what isn't. And the reality of this is this started from somebody who was being totally disingenuous, a reporter for Vox.com, who said that there was another YouTube performer, Steven Crowder, I think is his name. Crowder. And he had a bunch of videos that were combating pieces that were written on Vox.com. This writer goes, look, they're targeting me. And look, he's using these offensive slurs against me. And YouTube reviewed it, and they came back by saying, hey, while we don't agree with anything that this guy says, we are going to defend his right to say it because he didn't violate any of our policies. The guy over at Vox starts vamping more, and he's going like, hey, this is not good enough of an answer. I didn't know YouTube was homophobic. And YouTube goes, oh, actually, now that we think about it, we've demonetized some of his videos. And that's going to be the punishment that he has for putting these videos out there that were targeting you. And he's like, that's not enough, YouTube. And then YouTube comes back. And eventually YouTube said, we just demonetized his entire channel. Right? Like, we didn't delete all of his videos, but we demonetized this guy's channel. And this was just the beginning of a wave of all of these people who get either deleted from YouTube or get demonetized, which is about the same outcome in so many ways. You don't want to create a video, put the work in, if you have no chance whatsoever of getting any revenue off of it. But they just started clamping down. There was no shortage of people on social media, on Twitter in particular, who were saying, like, look, my account got taken down by mistake. And yesterday was a dumpster fire for them trying to figure out all that stuff. With social media platforms trying to decide what is right, is wrong, what is offensive, and what is hate speech, it's always going to be like this. And this gets people on the right side of the aisle rightfully so upset, because almost to a person, the people who are punished in this are people with views that are right of center. You cannot name all that many people left of center who have been punished by these platforms. The platforms themselves are incredibly progressive, whether you have Twitter or YouTube. They're managed by people who are far to the left. Most of their employees are far to the left. And so that leads to an ideology bias on their part that sometimes comes down on folks that they just disagree with. And so that's kind of where this puts us now. And you go, now we're going to have an even bigger discussion. This is the next thing that's going to happen. We're going to have an even bigger discussion where they talk more about breaking these companies up or regulating them, as if, you know,
it'll
the
be
US
a social media civil war.
Well, it'll be like they regulate them as if they're some sort of service like the power company or something.
Right. But I mean, doesn't it come down to that they're a company and they can make any decision that they want to?
Kind of, but not really. And the not really is because there's already been people who have sued successfully to suggest that politicians who represent them cannot block them on Twitter. If they do, the majority or at least a good portion of the work that they're doing and get their message out there on a platform, you cannot block your constituents. That opens the gates for a lot of stuff. because life is changing. We're not on the phone anymore. We're on social media. And if that's where the conversation is taking place, that's where the public square is, it becomes harder to hide behind this we're just a private company thing. And the private company argument works best for those people who are happy with the direction of this whole debate. That's the latest of the folks who have been getting banned. And there was a bunch of people yesterday and over again losing their minds about this. This happens at the same time, and I don't know if it's just a coincidence, that Twitter announced today that they were redoing their rules. And I kind of enjoy the way they've done this. For those of you who are on Twitter, the rules are just like everywhere else. You look into the rules of a platform and you're like, oh my God, this legalese, what the hell am I reading here? You read through it and you go, I didn't learn anything from that. And I think that might be by design, on purpose, that they make it kind of difficult to understand, to give them some wiggle room. But Twitter released the rules and it's now like 600 words total. It's in plain English.
Huh.
It's like, hey, you can't, like they said, you can't show animal abuse. And then they went a little further into it. And then they said exceptions will be made for religious sacrifices, hunting, or food production, right? Like I said, they have thought it out and kind of boiled it down to a much simpler, easier to understand thing. And I think all these platforms are going to have big problems in the future because people are taking advantage. I mean, this guy at Vox who wanted the Steven Crowder guy shut down, I don't know much about Steven Crowder, nor do I care. The guy at Vox, though, clearly wanted him shut down because he was an antagonist for him. He wanted him shut down because of the things that he believes politically. And when you let people like that start to control the debate, God, that's almost untenable to keep that going. Let's go to a couple of dispatches from the News Junkie app. Here is Bruce with a dispatch.
Hey, long time no dispatch. Bruce, hey, Bruce here. You know, in today's world, in today's society, sometimes you just need to learn to mind your own business.
Yeah.
Or get involved in things like this. Now it's manslaughter, technically.
He's talking about the fight.
So sad. Just trying to be a nice guy and avert something, and look at what happened.
Yep.
Sometimes you're better off just sitting down, drinking your beer, and eating your hot dog and hamburger. Mind your own business.
Yeah, but isn't that unfortunate to be sitting there, you're drinking a beer, you're having a hamburger, and you hear some guy screaming at his wife, and they're starting to get into it, and you're like, I should just stay here, I shouldn't get involved in this. And that one's a little more complex because there's no physical attack going on. But what if the guy was hitting the girlfriend? Then do you get up? If you missed this, is a story about a guy who was at Miller's Ale House and got into it with a couple, well, with the guy who was yelling at his wife. And then when he went over there, they started yelling at each other, these two guys. He hits the older man who's arguing with his wife. The guy falls, hits the ground, and now he's brain dead and is probably going to die. And so he's in jail for felony charges. He tried to step up and do the right thing, but it really took a turn for the worse. Here's my brother, Ken Suckett, with a dispatch.
Happy Thursday, News Junkies. On the subject of AirPods, I actually have a pair of AirPods that I use all day. Mostly just a convenience because they're pretty quick. I don't have to deal with tangled up headphones. I also sort of public respect other people, so I'm not blaring out loud music to other people that don't want to listen to it.
I like that.
Or when I'm listening to you guys and you start telling stories about penis mutilation stories and having those weird looks from coworkers. It's much easier when I just get to laugh in my head with AirBuds and not having awkward situations. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Bye now.
AirPods, right? Is that what they're called?
AirBud. Now you're going to make me cry thinking about when he left them on the island.
AirBud is the glorious dog who had all of the skills. I think he could dunk a basketball. He was multi-talented. AirPods, the silly things that you put in your ear that look like some bootleg alien is wearing them. Here's Paul with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. I don't believe in Bigfoot, but my wife got me a super sweet T-shirt that says National Hide and Seek Champion, and it's got a picture of Bigfoot walking through the woods.
I've seen that, yeah.
Have a nice day.
I'm more amazed that there are people that believe in that stuff still. Here's Nos.
Good afternoon, News Junkies. Do you remember when the dad from Harry and the Hendersons punched Harry right in the face? Yeah.
I like that jazz in the background. But I don't remember that part of the movie. It was such a cheesy-ass movie. Over to Indica Soul.
So instead of studying Bigfoot and all these other, cryptozoology creatures, we should study why these sightings occur, how long they've been occurring. Do the people have anything to gain by it? I mean, it's very obvious that in some of these places, like Loch Ness and all that, they literally... the Washington place with the Bigfoot. It's all tourism. They literally just make tons of money on all of this tourism, and that does make you question it. But the story started from somewhere, so I don't know. I know in anthropology there was some creature named a Gigantopithecus, and it's very similar to a Bigfoot. I think it was 9 or 10 feet tall, so maybe there was some subspecies of this through anthropology. Maybe it survived, but not recently, and maybe the stories were passed on from a long time ago.
Yeah, you're totally right about the marketing of it, and it's kind of genius that these places do it. Like, who cares about Roswell other than this? And they took Area 51, and they said, bam, let's put this on every keychain and shirt and frisbee and condom, whatever you want. Let's put it on everything we can and make some cash off of this. And they've done exactly that. So a lot of places go, oh, yeah, we're the home of the chupacabra. And everybody knows they're full of it, but they're just making money. Here's Bacon and Eggs with the Dispatch.
Junkies, what's going on? Yep, the second ad apocalypse for YouTube is here, thanks to some little crybaby Vox journalist that couldn't take getting made fun of on the internet. Meanwhile, he's out here tweeting about salting people, throwing his own insults around. And watch out, Steven Crowder called him a lispy queer, and now everyone has to get banned on YouTube for hate speech, and advertisements are getting pulled, and... it's a joke, bro.
I think you're kidding yourself. I think they were probably going to do this regardless of that. But the problem is when they get swayed by somebody who's being intellectually dishonest, who wants a political adversary wiped off a platform, that's bad, man. That's bad because all these people will lie through their teeth. They don't care about telling the truth. They just want anybody who disagrees with them shut down. And that's sort of one of the biggest problems at the center of this. I'll never understand that. Like, why you can't deal with the fact that somebody disagrees with you to begin with, but why you would want to just, instead of engaging with somebody, just shut down any and all dissent. That's about as fascist as it gets. And when we see stuff like that, that's the thing to be worried about. If you actually have a set of rules and then there's a rules violation and it's not all willy-nilly like it is now, because it's totally willy-nilly, that's a different thing. Let's do one more. Here's a rich working man with a Dispatch.
Hi, Juggies. Sean, I think that your definition of fake news is good. I want to add something to it. I would say that fake news goes a step further. It also is news that the news outlet chooses to follow of a particular political bent of that news organization that they would not follow if it was the other political leaning.
Of course, but it wouldn't matter to me if it was true. You know, as long as it's true, that's that makes sense. But no, of course there is a politicization of this with all these outlets that, you know, have their pet causes or have their pet political parties, and they create their content based around that. Absolutely, that happens every single day. They lie through their teeth to get you to join their political team, which is gross. When we come back, Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm shall join us. And DeCelaine, can you cleanse whatever list of legal questions we have of all the awkward things?
All cleansed.
All right, good. We'll get into that and any questions you have when we return. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Dancing naked around your kitchen is a lot better with your best friends.
Seriously.
I mean...
why would you encourage that?
Just say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Pulse.com. Real Radio.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
I got news for you. And it's going down. Before you come home, tell me you're not angry.
Jury duty in just a moment. Make sure if you have any questions, you dial us up. Don't feel like you're interrupting. If you have been in an accident, anything like that, we certainly want to hear from you, and this time of year, everybody out driving around, people on summer break, and you're going to different places, and people around you don't know where the hell they are, It's a mess. And what you need to do is make sure you're taking care of yourself through that. So let's just jump into it. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session. So put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Hey, let's welcome Moses DeWitt. Yeah. Of the DeWitt Law Firm. Hey, what are we looking at here on this field? There was a military accident earlier today. And what is that? Is that like a big tarp to hide anything bad that's happening under it?
Yeah, well, it was a rollover accident.
One person died.
And 22 people are injured. They're doing the press conference right now. I just caught the last end of it. But
they have like a gigantic tent that they've put up, like blacking out everything, covering up what's happening.
Yeah, I think it's the type of vehicle maybe that was involved and the training that they were doing. But
some sort of military vehicle that was involved in this. Yeah, they said a lot of people injured, only one dead, fortunately enough. I mean, that could have been a lot worse.
But the accident's off in the woods, yeah. So wherever that field is, maybe they have some sort of command ops that they've set up real
quick.
It's
like a staging center or something that they put together. Anyhow, that's going on behind the scenes as well. Moses DeWitt, if you have been in an accident, and this is something that unfortunately touches all of us at some point in time, make sure you reach out and dial 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. You want an attorney that is going to sit across the table from you and dedicate their time to your case to make sure that when you go up against the insurance companies, you're well taken care of. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. After you've been in an accident, or if a loved one, family member, you know, somebody that you're around has been in an accident, make sure you suggest, say, hey, call Moses DeWitt. This is the way to go right now, and this is the time to do it. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. Moses, we were talking. We have the third annual Ultimate Pinewood Derby coming up.
Yes, sir.
Right on the horizon. Always a fun event, a family event.
You were there last year, remember? We made you help us.
I do. I think we all loaded all those goodie bags.
Yep, stuffed the VIP bags and did some manual labor for us. Got Moses carrying speakers and stuff. You know, the stuff that all attorneys do.
Well, of course.
I'm sure everybody else is doing this, too.
Exactly.
But at the Ultimate Pinewood Derby, we have sold out all of our teams. We have only held back a very, very few teams for other people and sponsors and stuff to get. And Moses DeWitt will be captaining one of those teams.
The winning team.
The winning team you suggest right now. Do you have any experience whatsoever with Pinewood Derby cars?
I mean, I do have a few Indian Guide trophies from the Pinewood Derby tournaments.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So you've been in this arena before.
Many times.
Won before?
I have.
First place, I mean? That's a fourth place trophy you
got. I don't want to fib on the radio, so I'm not sure. I think it was first to ninth place trophy.
Oh. Ninth?
We'll call
somewhere
it first
in the middle.
How small is the ninth place trophy?
I mean, it's pretty large. You know.
Real tiny.
Make you feel good.
But this year, first place. That's the goal for the DeWitt Law Firm, Moses DeWitt's team. And if you think you have some sort of special skills, now, is this the way you're going to do this? Put it together like you're putting together like a crew to rob a bank where you get everybody with their individual expertise?
I mean, I was going to go with like a superstar sports team analogy, but
so yeah, a crew that robs a bank.
That's a good analogy, yeah.
You want people who have experience with Pinewood Derby cars. You need somebody who's good with wood.
Going to need it, yeah.
Somebody who can take the car.
Carve.
Yeah, and like
sandpaper. You'll need some sandpaper.
Somebody who's excelling in that world would be carpentry is going to be a big skill.
Yeah.
Also going to need somebody who's like good at mechanics.
Some aerodynamics.
Oh, yeah. Engineers. Whoever wants to be on Moses DeWitt's team, just reach out to him on his Facebook account. He loves when you do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of his favorite things when you do that. So I would recommend doing that now. Search for Moses.
Why does it sound like you're being sarcastic?
No, he loves it. I think he loves it.
I actually do enjoy it.
I just realized that I'm actually throwing this out before asking. But somebody's already done it, so we might as well go for it. If you want to be on Moses' team and you didn't get a team, trust me, you're going to want to, because these VIP bags are going to be badass. Every single person on the team is getting hats. That's an expensive and terrible idea.
Yeah, we just got a bunch of stuff to put in them, too.
Yeah, when Moses DeWitt and the DeWitt Law Firm tossing in some extra stuff, some cool stuff. Last year, there was some killer additions to the VIP bags. So that's going to be in there. The bags themselves are going to be collectible this year.
Ooh.
It's going to be cool. So if you don't have a spot on a team, Well, maybe if you've got the skills, you could be on with Moses. Moses, let's talk about accidents in general. Here was summer upon us. We saw what, you know, obviously I'm sure was an accident that they're just kind of releasing information about now at the theme park right down the road. And what's the water park called?
Volcano Bay
admitted that there was something that happened that led to people getting shocked who were at the theme park. Like there was some sort of loose electricity issue.
Mm-hmm.
And people who worked there and people who were just guests there on that day were impacted by it. Now, this goes for virtually any place. I'm not going to pick on them by any means because so far they've been pretty good about their record and safety and stuff. But any place you go to, let's say you go to a Publix, for God's sake, and while you're there, you're injured, something happens. How do you know that that's something you need to approach an attorney about? Do you need to be injured? Does it need to be something where you had to go to the hospital?
Well, I mean, to have a case, there's two parts. There's liability, meaning that the place that you were at is liable in some way, and there has to be damages. So you have to be injured in some way, typically, or have to be damaged in some way. But the best case scenario is just if something happens to you and you think you might have a case, just call an attorney and check, because there are statute of limitations. If you don't act within a certain period of time, you could be waiving that claim. If you wait a long time, you could really damage your claim.
Uh-huh.
So the best case scenario is just to call an attorney, let them know what happened, and discuss it with them as to whether it's worth pursuing a claim or not.
So, I mean, it looks good, obviously, in terms of your case. If something has happened to you, you immediately started to go after whomever was responsible and didn't wait.
Yeah, and you also want to preserve evidence. That's one of the biggest things. So actually, last Friday after the show, I went, and I won't say the name of the place that I went, but I went there to make sure that the evidence was still there preserved because our client had been injured on this apparatus.
Do you so just get to walk in there and be like, I'm an attorney, my name is Moses?
Well, it's always a little awkward because you don't want them to throw you out because it is private property at that point. And we've already sent them the letter to preserve the information, preserve the items. So you're kind of just sketchily walking around taking pictures of things with your phone, trying to look, you know, not
have
out of the ordinary.
Considered bringing around like yellow caution tape with you and just going full CSI with it?
Just put on my orange vest and walk in.
Dustin for fingerprints.
I don't think they'd appreciate that necessarily, but that is the biggest thing. If that evidence disappears, it can be very difficult, if not impossible, to prove your case.
You know, I was thinking about the other day, talking about evidence in these cases, and I think it's more important than ever. Now people want to see stuff to believe it. It's no longer that just like, here's this person's testimony, and now we'll hear from a couple of experts and we'll go with it. Now, in 2019, with everything being videotaped, you almost have to have some kind of videotape or photo evidence that is going to back up your story. Is it important for somebody, if they've gotten into an accident, if they've been to a place and they injured themselves and they think they might have a personal injury claim, to very quickly start recording stuff themselves to get video footage and stuff?
If they can. I mean, if they're seriously injured, obviously they may not be able to do that. But to record or record video or take pictures of the damage to a vehicle or something like that is very important. And now technology has actually helped us where, you know, if there's an accident on a roadway and we need to show a jury how that occurred, we can just go out there for, you know, pretty inexpensive, launch a drone, take an overview shot of that intersection. So they can actually see where the driver was. They can picture the whole area. It's no longer where you need to have an expensive recreation. Some very rudimentary pictures help really paint the picture, not only to a jury, but to an insurance adjuster as well.
Yeah, and that's powerful to be able to show people, hey, this is exactly where this happened. This is what was going on at the time. And like you said, that used to be incredibly expensive. I mean, there were companies making a boatload of cash.
Oh, yeah, they would charge you thousands upon thousands of dollars to do that. And now for, you know, $200 drone, you can go out there and get phenomenal photos.
All right, so we have some other things we had to talk about. What was the thing you mentioned, Celia, that was on the list that was also not that
expensive? Red light cameras.
Oh, yeah, the red light cameras issue has been decided in, I think it was Texas, but I might have that wrong.
Cali? No, they banned smoking.
I forgot where
Texas.
It was.
Texas is right.
Texas decided, hey, it's unconstitutional under the state constitution of Texas that we have these red light cameras, so boom, they're done with, and we're not doing it anymore. And C-Lane's question was immediately after that, is that ever retroactive? Is that something where you can go, well, hey, if it's unconstitutional, that means you never were supposed to do this, and it violated my rights, and I had to pay money as a result of that unconstitutional thing you did. Are they responsible for fixing all that?
There's no clear answer on that. There's a bunch of U.S. Supreme Court case law on that. basically, it's kind of supposed to be based on equities under the Chevron decision as to whether it's retroactive or not. I mean, typically, you kind of see if it's a civil or a monetary fine, it doesn't become retroactive. If it's criminal, then it does become retroactive in the sense of, or the crime or the punishment may be void at that point. So it's supposed to be depending on equities. There's no real clear answer as to a yes or a no.
Yeah, this is one of those things where somebody would have to bring the lawsuit forward to figure out. And in that case, it would probably go all the way up to the Florida Supreme Court.
And possibly the U.S. Supreme Court, depending on what issues are raised. And then they're only going to typically make a determination based on that specific fact pattern. Because they don't want a wide sweeping law that says if something is declared unconstitutional, it's automatically retroactive. Because that could have pretty grave effects. You know, certainly in cases like this, grave financial effects to a state who's collected millions upon millions of dollars
right.
on these red light tickets now has to pay it all back.
Yeah, yeah. And city-specific stuff could be really, it could be a mess if you started to do that. I wanted to talk about this as we wrap things up because I thought this was important. We kind of ran headfirst into it yesterday. So let's kind of clear things up a little bit if we can. Now, I'm seeing an article today from WPTV, which is down in West Palm Beach. And they say the Florida Highway Patrol on Wednesday seized more than 100 pounds of marijuana during a traffic stop on Alligator Alley in Southwest Florida. I don't know if you've ever been there. There's a road in the middle of nowhere.
It is. I used to drive it all the time from Fort Myers back to Miami when I was going to school there. And, like, they're not kidding. You see alligators on the highway.
Yeah. It's one of those roads that I think it's more boring than the turnpike. There's stretches of Alligator Alley where it's like, whoo.
Well, except for people that are not from Florida. They're like, what? You really do have those dinosaurs here.
It's like people on the side of the road selling stuff. It's you know, there's all kinds of that's when you get closer to the cities and stuff. But Alligator Alley is out there, and somebody was arrested, and they were showing off the haul of marijuana that they found. They got 100 pounds of marijuana, and they said that somebody, the driver, was booked and is facing charges of felony drug possession. The marijuana had a street value of more than $1 million. So this brings me perfectly to what we were talking about yesterday. Where are we at here with marijuana in the state of Florida, as you know it? And we threw around some words yesterday, like decriminalization.
Versus legalization.
Yes. Like, that means you could still be arrested? You could still face charges for doing stuff? Where does decriminalization fit into the process? And where are we at now, as far as you know?
Well, I mean, obviously, medical marijuana is legal. So if you have your medical card, you can go to a certified dispensary, a licensed dispensary, and buy that way. Then some counties have decriminalized marijuana, meaning it's no longer an arrestable offense. It's a written arrest, basically.
So that's a county-by-county thing.
And sometimes city-by-city.
Wait. It's a written arrest, not a citation?
Well, excuse me. Citation, written arrest. Sometimes they're interchangeable.
Did you just school Moses?
He tried to do it earlier, too.
It's still a written arrest, though. It's a citation they're issuing for you to appear in court.
Right.
It's not just, hey, pay the fine and you're done.
We all know someone that happened to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Somebody we know, like, all of us know?
Yeah, all personally, we have their number.
Just throw their name out there. Why not? No, don't do that.
It's not for me to say. But, yeah, citation is a thing, and, you know, they go through the whole process of it. But if it was decriminalized in that county where that person got pulled over, they would have given you a citation, but it wouldn't have been criminal charges?
Well, it's still illegal under the Florida state statute. So even though they're issuing you a citation,
it's
still a crime.
This
so
is
they're just
confusing.
Basically saying, hey, we don't want to spend the money on taking this person down to the jail, booking them in, having them sit there, paying to house them, essentially having a bail hearing, having them get out. So we're just going to issue you a citation that's still a written arrest, and then you have to appear in front of a judge, basically.
I thought it was a citation. I was under the impression it was a citation in the way that, like, a traffic ticket is a citation, where you just pay the fine and you're done with it.
Not that I'm aware of, because it's still a state statute, so that couldn't be a county by county decision. It would be conflicting with the state.
So if you get this written arrest and you still have a court date and all, does that mean you could still be adjudicated guilty and be sentenced to jail time?
Technically, yes. Now, some of those counties may have basically an agreement with the prosecutor that if it's your first time offense, it's X fine and you're done with it. But if it's a subsequent offense, then it's still a criminal charge either way.
Yeah, the problem and the confusion, as I see it, is right now we're in this no man's land where people go, hey, I'm from this county over here, and marijuana is decriminalized, and I can smoke medical marijuana because I have a card. But if I drive across the border, maybe a mile away, all of a sudden now I'm in violation of a law in another county.
Well, again, still the state statute still says what it says. And so basically, if you have a medical marijuana card, you're okay as long as you're within those confines of the medical marijuana constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a medical marijuana card, it's still illegal. However, different counties have taken different action in order to enforce the state statute.
I mean, the reason this came up was because they decriminalized mushrooms in Oakland.
Yeah.
But they said they only had like 6 pending mushroom cases, which makes it sound like if they're finding people with them, they're just slapping them on the wrist, making them throw them away or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're in no man's land right now. I think all of this maybe will resolve itself eventually. All right, thank you, Moses DeWitt. Of the DeWitt Law Firm. Make sure you're calling 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. Send your questions over to ask@dewittlaw.com, and we'll talk to you very soon, Moses. Back in just a moment with another restaurant manager fired. The video that led to all this is next. Don't go anywhere. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Broadcasting from the Real Radio Studios. Powered by the personal injury law firm of Kaufman and Lind. Auto accidents and other injuries. Get help when you need us.com. You're listening to WTKS HD1 Cocoa Beach, Orlando. We are an iHeartRadio.
Good luck.
Hear it here first. Then everyone else will catch up in a week or two or four. You're listening to the News Junkie.
I'm surprised. CNN's been holding with this car accident story. I mean, obviously, it's a big car accident. But for the majority of the day, they've been focused on this today. And I just finally saw the overhead shot of where the vehicle is. There it is right there. Look at where the vehicle ended up. So
yeah, it's in the trees.
Yeah, it flew down like an embankment, I think.
Also incredible that there were 23 people inside of that.
Yeah, it was one of those big things. I don't know if it's because I can't see, it's all smashed down there. Have you ever been driving down a road? This happened for me a lot on the B-line. There's a road called the B-line in North Palm Beach or South Palm Beach, whatever.
Well, whenever I hear B-line, our beach line used to be called the B-line.
Yeah,
the 528.
The B-line down there is in the middle of nowhere. There's a racetrack right around it called Moroso. And I would drive around there, and all of a sudden, there must be a base because you'd get like a convoy of army vehicles that would fly by you. And there would, of course, be like the Willie's Jeep, you know, like one of those big open Jeeps with like the gun mounts and stuff. And then there would be these big trucks. And the back had like a canvas top on it, but it was relatively open. And they had a bunch of soldiers that would be inside there. They just pack them in like sardines. And that very well could have been what the situation was here. If that's the case, if that's the type of vehicle that crashed this training accident, and there were 22 people at least in there, they're lucky that it wasn't a lot worse than that. Because you only have one cadet dead, 21 injured, when this thing clearly like plummeted off a cliff and it was completely full of people as it was doing so. So that's what they're talking about today. And rather interesting story to discuss, where a video has popped up about this in Utah that I wanted to discuss real quick. I don't know what the name of this place was because I'm looking at the woman's hat and I can't read the whole thing. Core Life Eatery. I have never heard of a Core Life Eatery.
Is that like just in the town that it happened, or it's a franchise?
It might be just one of them. Celia, look up Core Life Eatery. All one word, Core Life. C-O-R-E.
Yeah, it's in Tampa.
Oh, so there is a bunch of them. Because the one I'm talking about is in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
That's where this happened. So it must be a smaller chain. It's
focused on healthy, active lifestyles.
All right. Well, I'm looking into their kitchen right now and a snapshot that I'm seeing. And I see a manager, and she's got her finger out, and she's yelling, and she's on the phone at the same time. And the story goes something like this. The manager of a restaurant in Utah has been fired after a video of her rant toward an employee and the employee's family went viral. Connie Fuentes Aguirre is the employee being confronted in the video by her manager, identified only as Trina, they say. According to a Facebook post, this woman was promised a raise once she was moved up to a position in the kitchen, Since receiving that new position, she says, she has not gotten a raise. The family said, we came in to help facilitate a conversation between our mother and the boss because she doesn't speak great English. And they said, my sister waits until she's not busy, goes to the side and asks what the details are to translate to my mom. Then tells my sister, this woman tells my sister, don't tell me what to do. If your mom isn't getting a raise, she's the problem. All right, so let's listen in. Let's hear at the actual confrontation because there's a couple of clips of this. Hopefully no curse words. Rolling the dice. Here it goes.
Your mother, you just got your mom fired.
That's I'm just trying to translate for my mom, and you're kicking me out.
You no más trabajo here. Your nino, your nina, no bueno. They want to come in my restaurant, cause you talk drama. You no más.
What the? I just wanted to get your.
Get them out of here.
So she's saying you're fired now, and she's saying your relatives here who came in to the restaurant, they're the reason why you're getting fired.
By the way, it's no más trabajo aquí.
She was
muy bien.
She was trying her best,
puta,
to get this out, and the family was right there as this whole thing is going down. So she's firing
now.
You don't have to act like this.
This manager has been fired, by
the way.
We're
trying to talk to you in a nice way, and you're just trying to kick us out? For what reason?
Hi, I need security to Corlite Eatery right now, please. I have an ex-employee and her three children that need to be escorted from my property.
For what reason? Leave.
I'm calling them right now, too. Because that's not the
way you
treat.
That's
not how you talk to people.
Everybody in the conversation is on the phone with somebody else to try to call for some backup right now. And she said, get the hell out of here. They said, no, she's on the phone trying to get some backup. The family says, look, we were just coming in here because she was promised a raise and she didn't get the raise and she can't speak English, so she can't properly talk with the manager. The manager's like, the family was coming in here and causing drama and creating a stir. None of that's in the video, of course, because the videos that are released are always like a little bit. You just see a little bit. And a little bit is enough for everybody to go, ah, there's what I think about this already. And I guess enough for the chain to fire her. There is one more, though. Let me see if the other clip has something to say.
Dijo que te corrió. Ya te corrió.
It's the family talking together.
Sí, agarra tus cosas porque ya te corrió.
Get the hell out of my restaurant right now. Get out. Get out. Get out. No más. No más. No más.
No más. You know, if she said that you're fired, whether you agree with the reason or not, and told you to get out of the restaurant, you eventually have to get out of the restaurant. So she's not wrong in that. I just want to know what led up to this. You know, what starts before this? Was the family just going in there and being obnoxious? It's weird having your family negotiate for you in a job to begin with. But I understand with the language barriers that that might be some sort of issue. I just, you know what I hate? I hate when we see little clips of stuff and immediately people go, oh, this is what should happen. I hope, fingers crossed, that the company here was able to investigate, get the whole story, and figure out what's going on before they just dump somebody under the bus.
That's what they said in their press conference.
What's it say? You have a press release from them?
No, they held a press conference, announced that the manager in the video had been fired from the restaurant. The personnel had initially placed the manager on administrative leave while they investigated the situation, but after speaking with additional witnesses, they decided to terminate her. Our overall investigation determined while the situation was challenging, the manager's actions were not appropriate, and as such, we took swift action.
All right, so I don't know if they're going to talk more about exactly what happened, but I guess it sounds like some other employees were going, hey, here's what the situation was, and the company is saying, look, we looked into this, and we found out that she wasn't behaving in a proper way. It's another manager getting dumped by a corporation with one of these videos leaked, though, and you're going to see a hell of a lot more of that as time continues to roll on. Let's go to a couple of dispatches as we haven't worked those in. And here's the ambassador of Canada with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. So I'm just going to say, because I don't live anywhere near you where you can go boating and yachting and all that jazz, I am celebrating a completely different kind of summer. Instead of yacht rock summer for me, it's going to be pot rock summer.
All right.
I'm going to smoke all the weed because it is legal up here.
I'll rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah. So, pot rock summer in Canada. Woo!
All right. Well, you do your thing. Gotta be some body of water around there.
Yeah. She's got like two kids. Probably needs a little relaxation.
I don't blame her. Yeah, go for it. Here's Gizmo Arrow with a dispatch.
Hey, news junkie. So this is just an opinion from a local Orlando gay. But the big problem with Stephen Crowder is not that he's conservative. It's that he's mixing his arguments with a lot of very borderline hate speech attacks on an individual gay man. He calls him a lispy Mexican queer frequently. It's his favorite tagline to refer to the guy as. So it's borderline hate speech. YouTube said, yeah, it kind of is. People are getting pissed off about this, so he lost his money. So if he can make a conservative argument without attacking people, he's good. He's going to keep his money. If he can't, he's going to lose it. It's on him. So if you don't post this and share it with everyone, you're homophobic, and I'm going to report you.
Ah!
Have a good one. Bye.
I'm playing it, Gizmo. Look, I don't know Stephen Crowder. I've never listened to any of his stuff. I only know like the slightest bit about him. And I saw that he was selling some shirt that YouTube is taking issue with. I forgot what it was, but it's something homophobic, which was, you know, gross and bad behavior. The problem becomes when we actually get into determining what hate speech is. That's very hard to do. I know it seems simple, but it's all about your pet issues, where you formulate this based on what you think is hate speech, and somebody else might go, no, that shouldn't be the case. And when he's insulting this guy, I think that's gross behavior. And I think YouTube has the right to boot anybody off their platform. But I also think it is the beginning of a major problem for YouTube. And they showed that they were not very good at this yesterday by accidentally, in this clampdown, shutting down all kinds of profiles from history teachers. Like, I saw some history teachers that said, I had a history documentary I did about Nazis, and because of that, my whole channel got deleted. Like, they've screwed up a lot of this. And it's not for me that, let's say, Twitter or YouTube or Facebook has a set of rules. I think having a set of rules is fantastic. You want to create a platform that works for all of the people who want to use that platform. That is good. You're trying to super serve your audience and make it a good experience. If you don't do that, almost every time it crashes and burns. The biggest problem, and it is a problem currently for every platform that's ever tried this, is taking those rules and enforcing them equally across the entire spectrum of political beliefs or religions or whatever, and not putting your own bias in the mix. Like I said, I'm not defending that dude. I don't know anything about him. I don't know enough about what he said in their argument back and forth. I know that the guy from Vox, without a shadow of a doubt, was trying to get somebody who disagreed with him booted off the platform, because I saw a bunch of the tweets from him. And he's like, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And then I also saw the content from this Vox writer where he was inflaming things politically and telling people, you know, to egg people they disagreed with and whatever. There's a lot that goes into this. But if we let the decisions get messed up in the political mire, that's not going to be helpful at all. Here's TJH with a dispatch.
What's up, Junkies? TJ here. Long time no dispatch. Heard you guys talking about Bigfoot, and I thought of the three things my anthropology professor taught us. One, evolution is not progress. It's just change. Uh-huh. It's not linear. Change. Two, apes do not have tails. Those are monkeys. Three, if you see a Bigfoot or any one of those cryptozoological monsters, animals, whatever, hit it with your car. Hit it with whatever you're in. Drag its corpse to the local university. Let them see what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Those are the three things he wanted to stick to us or stick with us. So.
Look, I think the conversation about Bigfoot actually can get quite interesting if you go back. Because if you go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, far beyond that, actually, there were other types of human-like characters, you know, hominids and stuff, and they were having sex with each other. And we're all sort of a mixture of all of this as it falls out. But as far as I know, I've never seen anything where there was any kind of humanoid creature that was upwards of 8 to 10 feet tall, resembled in any way any kind of Bigfoot type character. And almost all the information that you see that becomes a big deal, almost all of it ends up being a hoax. That's what we've seen in so many of these cases. When we come back, we'll do the final dispatches. Oh, no, you know what? Are we still? God, I'm losing my track on this second segment.
You really want today to be over.
No, because we went so far over on the jury duty segment, it threw me sideways.
It's the weed, man.
There is a story I want to get to when we come back anyways. And this is perfect for See It Now. We'll have time to put this up. There is a doctor who had an interaction with what they call a sex attacker. What happened in this interaction and a photographic piece of evidence as to the fact that this all occurred is something that you cannot miss, and that is coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
They won't tell you this, but your pets are pretty lonely when you leave. No worries. We'll keep them company. Just say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Right now.
Your direct line to the heroes that saved Canada that one time. It's the News Junkie.
Well, something from your childhood that is being snuffed out one by one by one in just a moment. But it's a big week for all kinds of TV returns. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was launched. I didn't even realize until, I think, a couple of days ago that The Handmaid's Tale not only launched with one new episode, but three episodes all at once.
Already
on
seen
Hulu.
All three.
Don't ruin it for me. I've only seen the first one. I don't know how I feel about that, because then they only have 10 more left to dole out over the following weeks. It would have been nice to have another 2 weeks where you were getting that show on Hulu, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, no, by the end of the third one, my girlfriend was like, start hacking.
Just hacking get the other one. Everybody wants a little bit more. And the show, if you haven't seen it, is pretty fantastic. And I love, in particular, the music, the way the music is weaved into the show. And the overall story is now supposedly going to take some new turns, but the season three premiere of Handmaid's Tale has brought about a bunch of different polls where these organizations are going, hey, here's a thing happening in the news, and it's hip, and we can get attached to this by doing a survey about people. And so they try now to chuck this up to party affiliation, how you view the show Handmaid's Tale. Mm. So they actually asked 2,200 adult viewers from May 31st until June 2nd, so just about a week ago, not even, that they wrapped this up. And they said, choose between the following statements. Which one do you agree with more? The dystopia shown in The Handmaid's Tale is grounded in truth and could become reality someday. That's one. Or the dystopia shown in The Handmaid's Tale capitalizes on people's irrational fears and won't become a reality.
Those are such different statements without any other options.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're trying to get the answer that they got, right? I mean, you can figure out how to word questions so that you get the answer you want. The answer they want is, Democrats view The Handmaid's Tale like this, and Republicans view it this way. But here's the real number that matters in this poll. Of all the people they asked, 67% of people said they didn't know or had no opinion. So 7 out of 10 people essentially said, no, not gonna do that. 33% who did answer were almost evenly split, with 17% saying Handmaid's Tale could become a reality, and 16% saying it could not. The 1% difference accounts for just 30 votes. So anybody who thinks that there's some sort of possibility of this being reality is dead on split between parties. This is something you're going to see more and more of, because at the beginning of the new media explosion, these polling companies were making killer money. But then they kind of realized something. They realized they don't get as much attention anymore if they just have something that's politically based. Like, hey, a new poll from the Morning Consult says 72% of Floridians approve of completely legalizing marijuana. And we go, wow, that's interesting. Three people would share it on Facebook. You get a couple of tweets on Twitter.
Facebook.
And everybody else would be like, whatever. But if you can get an article that says Republicans and Democrats were split in arguing over whether or not the Game of Thrones finale was correctly done, now you've got politics and pop culture. And you smash them together to create yourself a story, and get your polling results out there as much as you possibly can. That's what everybody wanted. This, well, this is what nobody wanted. And I'm sorry that you're going to have to look at this, because you really do have to. There is a photograph that is now making the rounds of an alleged would-be rapist who somehow in South Africa was in an interaction with a doctor who is just 24 years old. And the doctor pretends to be a patient to get into this hospital. When he's inside the hospital, this 24-year-old doctor comes over and he tries to force his tongue in her mouth to kiss her.
Jesus.
And she bites down. And she bit his tongue almost entirely out of his mouth. And there's a photo of this. Now, my favorite part of this story is that the guy was then injured, but he didn't want to go to the hospital where he had done this, so he had to go to another hospital to get taken care of at a place called Universitas Hospital. They have a plastic surgery unit, and he underwent surgery.
Oh, gosh. I just found the closer picture.
Oh, really? Because I've only seen the one that you saw. It's so bad that it was blurred out on most of the news sites. Like, they did not want to show it. Let me see. Oh, man. I mean, she bit off completely, or they had to remove, his tongue all the way to the very back. Like, what is there, maybe an inch left of tongue?
It looks like, I don't know if it's actually a piece came off, or she just got a big chunk, and so there's kind of like a little tongue tag hanging off the side.
Oh, it's the... Oh, when you're tongue-tied, I bet that's the only thing holding on to it.
Not the uvula, the thing on the bottom. Oh, like thing it used to gleek out of, for those of you who are familiar with that. The guy's tongue is just absolutely decimated. Take a look at the price he paid for forcing himself on this doctor. Check it out in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. They say she's currently undergoing medical tests and counseling after the incident. And they talk about the situation in South Africa. They said last year there were 40,000 rapes recorded in South Africa, but officials believe the true figure is significantly higher. This woman chomped down on his tongue to really, really take things up a notch. I will get into this thing from your childhood that is being shut down when we come back, and we'll wrap that up with the final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Options apply.
Download the app and earn a badge that matches your corrupt soul. The News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. And the mayor of New York is saying it's time to crack down. We all know what the real problem in New York City is. We know what the true scourge of these streets is. And that is the ice cream truck drivers. And dozens of ice cream truck drivers are dealing with some not so sweet consequences, according to Pix 11, after officials say they scammed the city government out of millions of dollars. They are going to seize 46 ice cream trucks.
Damn.
And they said, I guess these guys are real dicks in New York City. The companies that do this, they've been ignoring all the laws, like consistently breaking traffic and safety laws, running red lights, parking near fire hydrants, blocking crosswalks. And then they would get a bunch of tickets against them, against their company. And then they would simply close that company down and start a new company, like a shell company, to hide who they were. And this says enough's enough, and they're taking 46 ice cream trucks.
Which means they're going to have a hell of an auction in a couple months.
These things are off the street for now. And I imagine New York City got more than that. So there'll still be some ice cream out there for those folks who still want a little bit. But it's going to be a messy situation for those involved.
Is this an urban myth or is this true? Isn't the song for the ice cream truck racist?
I don't know. There's a couple different ones. That's the one I always remember. The one that I was just playing. That's the one I know. There's a bunch of them.
Stupid Washington Post.
You'll find it eventually. And other news here. Jussie Smollett's 911 call has finally been made public. Now, he didn't make the call. It was his manager. And I knew it. I said it at the time when this was all happening. I was like, I feel like the manager wasn't in on this. The manager didn't know what was going on. Over 4 months after this whole fake hate crime, we now have this, and the manager seems totally convinced that this just happened. Listen to this.
29/20/19, 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 48 seconds.
Chicago, emergency,
William. I just need a police to come by. I work with an artist. I don't really want to say his name.
It's Frank Gaston right here.
He went to Subway. He was walking by, and some guys, I don't know, they jumped him or something like that. And I just want to report it and make sure he's all right.
Okay, so we're just checking the well-being. Okay.
You know, he was cool. He didn't want me to call you guys, but I feel like he needs to make a report.
Okay, so you can't make the report for him. Did he want to make a report?
No, that's why I'm doing it. He's definitely going to make the report. I'm going to make the report.
So I'm going to make him make the report. So he sounds very convinced at the time that was all happening. Clearly, he was out of the loop. And you hear him mentioning the noose and stuff in just a moment. I did learn this today, though. This particular show is coming back.
Are you ready, kids?
SpongeBob
SquarePants is coming back. They said Nickelodeon has commissioned a 13-part series that will document the younger years of Mr. SpongeBob himself, and it'll be like a 10-year-old SpongeBob at some summer camp they were at. I knew they were going to do this because they had to. That is a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar organization, and no way were they going to stop cranking out all the SpongeBob toys and stuff that they sell and everything else they can do with that IP. So SpongeBob will make a return. What else do we have here? A bill to legalize assisted suicide in Maine is going to the governor. And text messages reveal the anguish of an underage Nexium sex slave as the leader sought total control over her. You can check out these text messages, a bunch of stories about them, and you can check out more about Nexium if you don't know. It's one of the episodes of the News Junkie Interviews. Check out that podcast right now. Search for the News Junkie Interviews and subscribe and listen to that particular episode if you're behind the eight ball on what Nexium is all about. It's a weird-ass story. Let's do Today I Learned. Come on!
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call
Today I Learned. I'm blaming this new power cord. It's making my laptop act very strange today, and nothing wants to go when you push it. Finally it hits, so let's do it now. Today I Learned for a Thursday, June 6, 2019. 7 stories from around the web and around the world and all that good stuff. Let's jump into the action. No guessing on this one. Today I learned when actors screwed up on Quentin Tarantino's set, they would say, "Hi, Sally," to the editor, who was Sally Menke, because she had to sit for hours and watch all the different takes. And he said, "At least you could do is say hello to her as she's editing all your flubs out." And they've released a bunch of blooper reels of this.
Hold this, Bob.
I think Sally's one there. Hi, Sally.
They turned to the camera and started talking.
Can you come say hi to Sally?
Hi, Sally.
All the movies that he's ever done, there are little clips like that where people talk to the editor, which is kind of a fun thing for them to do on the set when they screw up. Today I learned there's only one reported death from radiation at Fukushima. Fukushima, the reactor that was taken down during the incident or the tsunami in Japan back in 2013, I think. There are about 1,600 reported deaths, however, from evacuation stress, suicide, and health access. So the only person who really died from it was one person from the Fukushima meltdown issue and the radiation. And then all these other people started to see, hey, I think we could jump in on this. There was a massive lawsuit afterwards, and people said they had stress due to the evacuation from the time. Today I learned this cartoon.
The
We're ready.
Oh my God.
He likes lasagna.
Oh, Garfield.
Garfield. He doesn't like Mondays. He enjoys all that other stuff.
Tell me why.
Today I learned Jim Davis, I'm not going to tell you about that, has been inducted into the Marketing Hall of Fame for Garfield. He admits he now only spends a few days a month working on the comic itself, but he is deeply involved and has always been connected with managing the brand's popularity. He's careful to pull products at peak popularity to prevent blowback from the brand becoming too ubiquitous. There's an amazing story about how he came up with the Garfield windows stuck things. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just Garfield on the back of your car, and how they actually sent him the wrong product. He wanted something different when he ordered that. I think it was supposed to be Velcro. And then he goes, here's what we're going to do. Guy's a genius at branding and marketing, and that's what he focuses on these days. Must be a beautiful, beautiful life. Today I learned India broke a Guinness World Record. They planted 66 million trees in just 12 hours. 66 million tree saplings within half a day. That's along awesome. A place called the Narmada River. And this was somebody who decided to do this out of nowhere, gathered up a whole bunch of volunteers. In fact, 800,000 volunteers in total. And they planted 50 million trees in one day. Actually, more than that. 66 was the confirmed total by Guinness World Records. Today, I learned Joe Pesci. Now, you may know him from Home Alone, from
Goodfellas.
From
My Cousin Vinny,
the attorney one, is fantastic. That's a good movie. And holds
Two
up.
Utes.
He also was a singer before he was an actor. He released his first album in 1968 with a follow-up not coming until 1998. Here's one of his tracks called Take Your Love and Shove It, just in case you didn't know if you were a Joe Pesci fan or not. Come on, Pesci.
Why don't you take your love and shove it up your big fat ass? You know you're the reason we're through. I've got all the yelling and the fights that we had. It because of you.
He's got a whole album like this.
And you whine, you make every beep we got last.
I don't think I could do that whole album.
I think I could.
He's got something to him. You can tell it's Joe Pesci. Like, it doesn't just sound like somebody with a good voice. It sounds like Joe Pesci singing a song. Today I learned tooth enamel is harder than steel. Tooth enamel, harder than steel. It's composed of mineralized calcium phosphate, which is, in fact, the single hardest substance any living being can produce. So your tooth enamel is harder than a lobster's shell or even a rhino's horn. Imagine that. As long as you keep up your teeth, you'll be A-OK. And finally, today I learned this band right here.
Black Keys?
The Black Keys is correct. When they were signed to a record label, right before this, they had never played a single live show together ever. The guitarist Dan Auerbach and drummer Patrick Carney sent record labels their demos saying they'd been playing in and around Cleveland and they're very familiar with live shows, which wasn't quite true. But the lie worked anyhow. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning.
Oh, man.
Shut your mouth. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show comes up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.